Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a podcast that's been called A Perennial Favorite by Fort Windy in our reviews on iTunes. We're running out of reviews, new reviews. I'm going to have to start digging into some old stuff. So if you would like to go on and give us a good review, we'll give you a little shout out.
Hey, Fort Windy. Thanks for the review.
Just like that. That's what will happen. This is a podcast where we talk about conspiracy theories and sci-fi and
paranormal.
Sci-fi or sci-fa?
Fa?
Fact.
No.
I mean, sci-fi, you guys don't talk about, like, Battlestar Galactica.
We don't talk about, like, the Challenger exploding.
But, I mean, you don't talk about Battlestar Galactica either, right?
See, that's...
That's what science fiction is.
Well, but, I mean, this is all...
To people who don't believe in aliens, aliens are science fiction.
I see. Okay, I accept that.
Our guest today is our good friend and writer, Ryan Ridley.
I'm the writer for the show. That's what you mean?
Yeah, you write...
I write some of your best lines.
You write all the jokes that don't do well.
Wouldn't that be funny if we had a writer?
Welcome aboard the SSRLSF, Ryan.
Thank you. What does that stand for?
This is the spaceship that we're cruising around space in.
Oh, I see. Real life sci-fi.
Yeah,
what does the SS part stand for? I mean, that goes for, like, in general.
Ships. It's just the two S's.
Really?
And ships.
That's every military vessel. That's what it means?
That's the sea.
Ships.
The sea.
The USS ship. Ships.
The C word ship.
I don't know, man. SS. God,
we should know that, huh?
I don't know if we should.
It's funny because the other... SS, I'm aware of in military context. That's
it's
bad.
The bad one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Willie, what are we? Where are we in space right now?
We're at a crossroads, if you will. We're so close to a black hole that we are near an event horizon. We shouldn't be here. But if as long as we can keep our distance,
are we going to see a star created? Is that what that means?
Well, it's funny because you can look this up for yourself, but we still have not ever seen a black hole. Obviously, it's black,
or it's not nothing, right?
Or nothing. But we've seen evidence of a black hole, but we've never seen a black hole, and we could still be way wrong about everything about them. And
you're saying that those images we have, both in like movies and television, and just drawn images could be as inaccurate as like old timey drawings of dinosaurs that basically made them look like, I don't even know, just basically.
I think he's
toys.
Saying that they might not even exist.
You know what? There is a chance that we are misinterpreting something, and because we, you know, well, I'll keep saying this, but. You know, if you take string M theory, which is the most popular string theory, there's 11 spatial dimensions around us, and we haven't, sure, some of the scientists have, but that information hasn't been translated to the population, what that actually means. And I'm not talking parallel dimensions, I'm just talking spatial dimensions. So there are spatial dimensions in front of us right now that we cannot perceive. So could we be a little bit wrong about the black hole? Yes, we, for some reason, math and science has been fine, you know, just being on paper for a long time. Everything still checks out. It's closer to that than nothing is the best explanation of what it could be. But we need to go beyond that and get it right.
So what does this have to do with the event horizons?
Well, we're investigating.
Wait, can I just say something? As the writer of the show, I got a funny joke.
Okay.
Scientists also can't prove the existence of dark matter, correct?
Yeah.
Shit, man. Black holes, dark matter. I think we know what the scientists are all about. Shit they can't prove, you know what I mean?
Is that the joke?
It's like, it's the first pass of the joke.
You were going to say, like, scientists also can't find the G-spot. So,
well, I'm trying to do a thing like where scientists are racist because all the stuff that we can't prove has black or dark in the name.
I thought you were going with a Trump parallel comparison of like, well, scientists are basically the equivalent of fake news because there's no truth right now. It's all sure. You can retest your test and the results might be the same, but it still doesn't prove shit to me.
No. I'm totally going hacky white guy's version of a hacky black comedian doing a joke about science.
Well, get out to the black holes.
Many layers as the 11 spatial dimensions or whatever the fuck you're talking about. It's just a very basic on the surface hacky joke. Wade, you were totally distracted by this football game.
That's not true. Can I
say something though? I when you asked before the show whether I would be distracted by it, the answer I said was no, which was a lie. But then I started thinking we should keep it on because what if a UFO landing happened
right
live on television during either this game,
then
like,
this podcast would go down in historical content.
Here's the weird thing: if there was a UFO hovering over this game,
we'd be doing the running commentary.
We'd be more like the Jesus. What are the JFK tapes?
Oh, the Gibraltar.
No, what is it?
Zapruder.
We'd be the audio Zapruder.
No. We'd be the Hindenburg. We'd be like the we'd say something. We'd say the new.
We would say
the
humanity.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Do you think any of us would be that sort of
between
poetic?
The three of us?
You think someone
with enough
would?
Talking?
Oh, dude. What,
if, eventually, 1,000 monkeys at 1,000.
Here, I've already got one. In case that happens, I call. Welcome to the new world, everybody.
Oh, you know what I'd say? Oh, the non-humanity.
Nice. Okay. That'd be good. That way we get a real one and a joke one. It's a joke one. Come on. It's a parody.
It looks like aliens don't like football.
Or they love it.
No, you should say it looks like aliens don't like the new tackle rule.
Well, yeah, depending on like which player got injured based on like seeing the aliens come down first, I guess the aliens don't like the Falcons.
Looks like they got some money on Philly.
Exactly. So we cover all our ground. We get joke lines.
So when that happens,
lines.
We can say all that stuff.
Absolutely.
All right, cool. But I'm not distracted. It's just something to look at. I avoid eye contact because I'm an introvert.
Oh, that's why?
I make eye contact because if we can, like, talk at each other and, like, I feel like the connection is more in it. A lot of times when I talk, I'll get lost in my head, but, like, if I'm maintaining eye contact, I feel like I'm more focused on what I'm saying.
Okay, that makes sense.
But you don't need to hold it.
Okay, I'm going to break it right now.
I just, like, are you ever at a bar and you're sitting across from somebody? Isn't it weird to just be looking at them the whole time? Like, you need to kind of just, like, look around.
There's got to be some formula to it, ideally. Like, and I don't know what it is, but it's, like, and, like, on dates, like, it's, like, I'm trying to think of, I had an interesting side note about this topic, because I was going to say on dates, and I was about to say even your girlfriend or your most intimate lover, but I had a conversation with my girlfriend the other day. And I made a joke based on my own. I was about to say fight, but it wasn't even a fight. But basically, I made a joke that I'm so bad at intimacy that I couldn't even hold eye contact with her for an extended period of time or something like that. And she got upset with me, and I was like, no, of course I could. But yeah, it's hard to hold eye contact like with anybody is my point.
Yeah.
Well, let I think, alone someone
but there's
you should
also,
be closest to.
But there's also, like, you just have to keep checking in, right? Like, you just check in, and then you can
What's
go
What's weird,
back.
Though, is if you catch eye contact with somebody. Now, this happens to me all the time, because I dress very, I mean, I don't want to use the word flamboyant, but everybody else does. I dress very flamboyant.
Don't let them define you.
And
flamboyant doesn't have to be a synonym for gay.
Yeah. I'm very loud. And so, I do catch.
And even if it was a synonym for gay, Willie.
But that, yeah,
do you that, care?
I don't. I grew up gay and Mexican because that's what everyone thought I was. So I catch eye contact with people all the time, and then as soon as I do, you know, you do the thing where you look back, and then that you keep having the same eye contact with the same person.
To where
it's like. If they're straight, they think you want to fight. If they're gay, they're like, oh, you're checking me out. So I get both all the time. And I'm like, you know what? I actually just stare at everyone and I look at everyone.
Yeah.
And I was staring at somebody so long, I was waiting for someone to look at an apartment, and there were these people standing there. I looked at them so much that they came over to me, and they thought I was the real estate agent because they're like, because I was just staring at them.
Well, but see, that's the other thing. There's a million things going through your head. It's not just, I'm going to fight that dude or I'm going to fuck that dude. It's like, fuck, do I know that guy? Or like, why is he looking at me? Do I have something on my face?
That,
yeah.
Is that Jason Alexander? Or is that just a regular old bald guy with glasses? You know what I'm saying? I'm just adding another category to like the eye contact. You're like, the other day I was out.
Fat as Jason Alexander? Are you talking about me?
No, God, no. That was, sorry, maybe on an unconscious level. I was searching for a celebrity, but I was just thinking, like, you've been out in public. I'm adding another reason why you'd make repeated eye contact.
Right.
Other than fight, fuck.
Right, right,
and,
right.
You know, you'd be like, oh, is that a celebrity? And you might keep looking at the same person over and over again and debating it.
Remember, wrong. I was, I don't know if I've told this story on the show before. I was an extra on the Lincoln Lawyer, and we were shooting at this public place.
Uh-huh.
And well, first off, a friend of mine got me the job, and he was friends with the director. So
I just really quickly say that the Lincoln Lawyer is one of the most fucking like misleading titles of any movie, because you hear Lincoln Lawyer and you're like, oh, weird. Is this about like Abraham Lincoln when he was a lawyer? Mm-hmm. Or is this like some kind of Lincoln Law
thing?
That'd
be a horrible title if that's what it was called. The Lincoln Lawyer.
But it's just literal. It's just a guy who's a lawyer from his car, which is a Lincoln. Why wouldn't they just change it to any other car?
It's about his car? I don't even know that.
I think the actual answer is it's based on a book. So why would they? So you're asking why the author wouldn't change it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Still a bad title.
But why is it a bad title? What else? The Hyundai Lawyer? The Audi Attorney?
See, but they did it for the alliteration. You just did the same thing.
Yeah. Well, the guy's got to sell books, get attention.
But the alliteration is misconceiving, because like, oh, wait, is this something about race? Or, you know, does he defend?
I thought it was like a period piece in the Lincoln Times.
I thought it was a case that paralleled what Lincoln did for slavery.
I guess you guys are talking about a world where you didn't see trailers for this. You
I watched trailers.
Exactly.
Yeah, I thought it was a guy who was a lawyer outside of his through his Lincoln. But then I watched it on a plane, and it's not like there's a lot of time spent in. It's not Baby Driver meets John Grisham.
It's Clooney,
doing depositions in his car. It's Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, it's McConaughey. What's the Clooney one where like the car? Yeah, these are the worst coasters. What's the McConaughey or the Clooney one where he's like a lawyer out of his car and then the car blows up and stuff?
Be thinking of Out of Sight.
No, it's not. It's like it's heavier than that.
Whoa!
And it's for Syriana.
It's not that heavy.
Jesus. And it's a Clooney movie.
I think so. And his car blows up. He does a lot of work out of his car. Does McConaughey's car blow up in that movie?
I'm sure it must, because think about it. It's called The Fucking Lincoln Lawyer. They're like, you know where to hit him. You know where to fucking hit him
but
where
you
it counts.
Just said he didn't do that much in his Lincoln.
The one thing he fucking cares about. All right. I don't remember if the car blew up. Should we get in topic?
No.
We're not even close to that. Yeah. Willie still has to tell this story that I interrupted.
It'll be quick.
I'm also your producer.
So everyone thought that I knew the director, and so they were treating me better. And as
but
an
why?
Extra,
that, because, how did that happen?
Because my friend knew the director, and I got hired because of my friend.
Oh. What was your friend's position on the movie?
He wasn't on the... Oh, he did storyboarding.
Oh.
And so they were treating me good, which as an extra is so hard to get... You don't get treated well.
Yeah.
And then at one point they were like, "Hey, you can go talk to the director right now if you want."
Who said that?
Like some of the PAs.
The Wrangler,
but did they
whatever.
Say you can go talk to your friend John?
Yeah, pretty much. They didn't say director. They're like, "Hey, it's pretty. You know, you can go say it." And so I forgot who the director was, and so I'm like, "Okay," because I was like, "Fuck, I'm not gonna, I didn't want to lie."
Right.
But I also didn't say anything, so I just walked over there. And I walked right next to him and like gave him the nod, and I was standing at the monitor like with him for a while.
And you both had to have this. Not both of you, just you. I had to maintain this. Did you look at the extras like behind you and like kind of like try to mimic intimate body language and stuff? Or
I just hung out for a long time.
Do you think he noticed you? Do you think he knew you were an extra and he was like, why the fuck is this extra over here? And then somebody got yelled at
later? Maybe.
Bummer.
But so the funny story that I was going to tell was we were in this public area and these two ladies were walking by, older Hispanic women, and she's like, what is this, a movie? And she goes, yeah, can't you tell? And she's all, no, I don't see any famous people around. And the other girl looks at me and she goes, there's Jimmy Smits.
To you?
Yeah.
As a joke or for real?
No, she was for real. And this was like 8 years ago. I'm like, I didn't even think my hair was fully gray. Not that it's even fully gray now.
I have such a similar story. I'm just going to tell it.
I was so mad. I'm like, I don't fucking look like Jimmy Smith.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. And that's the thing is that like that's the
Jimmy
weirdest
Smith
thing.
Is an attractive guy. That's a compliment.
But he also looks old.
He's also now in his like 50s.
Well, yeah, he's 10 years older
really
than
was,
you.
Like, in his 20s, maybe.
Right.
So I went to school at the same high school as Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell. And I remember one of my significant stories is in freshman year in high school, I was like not paying attention in science class and doodling, and my science teacher, Mrs. Slaughter, kind of busted me, but then also went on to like not shame me, and in fact said, I had that Sam Raimi in my class and he used to do the same thing. And that's kind of one of the early things that made me think like, oh, I could be a professionally creative person, right? And that was like 91, so it was like probably Evil Dead Sam Raimi.
Sure.
Or not Evil Dead, sorry. Well, Evil Dead for sure, but Darkman. And and so so then just to give you perspective, so they went to that high school. So then like maybe like 5 years later, I was 99, 2000, Sam Raimi would have been like late 40s maybe. I was back and I was 23 and my friends were all in their early 20s, and I was back at high school watching my brother in a play, so he's still there, and I was with a guy. And this teacher walks up, not the science teacher,
right.
Completely new teacher, walks up and stops us in terms of my friend who, like I said, was in his early 20s and kind of looked like Sam Raimi, I guess. And she just started going on like, oh, my God, Mr. Raimi, I don't know if you remember me, but you had me as a teacher. And this kid is like staring at her like, what the fuck is happening? And then not knowing what to say, and so she mistook him being stunned into silence as him big timing her.
Sure, yeah.
And so she finally just like, after him being silent for a minute, was just like, you know, forget it, and walks away. And I was just like, oh my God, she thought he was Sam Raimi. Big
timing
her.
She hates Sam Raimi.
Exactly, exactly.
Oh, no, that sucks.
Oh, you obviously don't remember.
Okay, well, you've been on the show once, but that was before the WoW scale, so we're going to do this test to see if you're a waiter or a willy. Mm-hmm. And we always fuck this up. We never remember
that's
the questions.
Such a great hook. WoW scale.
Yeah, one of our listeners named that.
And I wonder if they played World of Warcraft. We didn't even put the two together until later.
I just think they know a good acronym when they
come out.
Yeah,
waiter willy. It's fine.
Thank you.
All right. Three-part question to begin.
Okay.
Do you believe in aliens? If so, do you believe that they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth within, like, the last 300 years?
That last question is particularly odd, but I'll start from the beginning. Do I believe in aliens? Wade, yes, we are aliens.
See, that's why it's a three-part question. Everybody says yes to the first part.
Yeah. As Arthur C. Clarke said, you have to believe either there's
is that like
other life in the universe.
Or
that's the author of 2001: A Space Odyssey. either there's other life in the Earth or in the universe.
I don't know if you remember me, but
or there's none, and it's just us. And either explanation is equally ridiculous. I'm paraphrasing. It was Isaac Asimov. Anyway, so I guess the first answer is easy. Yes. The second answer question is. Do I believe they visited Earth? Fuck it. I'm going to say yeah.
Okay.
The third in the last 300 years?
Yeah.
I mean, for sure. If they visited at all, then because of all the...
Well, but do you want to know the justification behind that stipulation of the question?
Please.
So, like, because we could say that the aliens, like, built the pyramids, or the aliens, like,
all the gods
us.
In the Bible.
I actually have more of a problem with that than I do with modern-day sightings. And I'll
well, don't
why.
Get hung up on it. I just mean, like, because there are theories that, like, aliens sort of helped us like get on our feet or whatever,
yeah,
or the Prometheus, you know, explanation.
That and so I would say to that, like, I would more confidently say they visited in the last 70 years, because I don't want to believe that fucking humanity needs help from aliens to build the pyramids.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah,
it's like,
I
what is
it? But
we have a collective low self esteem as a species.
Oh,
no,
no, no.
You
don't know the secrets of the pyramids. That's, seriously.
Please don't get him started on the pyramids.
I'm focused on the subject at hand, so I can
okay, then
about
let's
that.
Just move on.
Okay.
Bigfoot? Do you believe in Bigfoot?
No.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Gosh, that's a tough one. Here's why I want to say no, and then I'll follow up with why I want to say yes. I want to say no because
but then you're going to have to answer.
Okay. Roughly half the people I've met in my life have claimed to have seen ghosts, and I think to myself, boy, either I know, either the odds of seeing a ghost are 50-50,
right,
or I know a lot of fucking idiots,
right,
liars, et cetera, et cetera. I'm just saying, like, it just doesn't, like, if 5% of the people said they've seen a ghost, I'd be like, that makes sense. But it's like 50% of the people I've met.
So you yourself don't have a ghost story?
No, not even close, unfortunately.
And then why
unfortunately,
would you...
I would love to.
Really? That wouldn't creep you out at all?
It'd totally creep me out, but then I would have a fucking awesome ghost story.
Would you move if you had a ghost story in your apartment?
Here, I'm going to answer that question with a little anecdote. So I dated a woman once, and she told me...
Just once.
I've only dated a woman once in my life. Not into it. She told me that she lived in this apartment, and one night she woke up and she, you know, long story short, saw a ghost.
Yeah.
And then she told her landlord, and landlord was like, oh, that's so-and-so, basically.
That's old Mary.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And then she told me that she saw that ghost like 50 more times. And I don't
50?
Know over the course of how long that was. Let's say that was 2 years.
Right. That's like
once every two nights.
Right.
Let's say that's 3 years. That's once every three nights.
That's awesome.
No matter how you fucking do the math,
unless
that's
she lived
a
there
lot.
For 5 years. And,
so I'm
just
thinking,
once a year.
How could you not have boned out of the, that's like, imagine any other issue. Cockroaches.
Oh, it'd be 10 times a year.
Just bad air, no air conditioning.
Yeah.
You know, I see a ghost twice a week.
Well, but if you get used to it and it's non-threatening and you like your place.
Yeah, then that you know, which is funny because, you know, I live next door to Wade in a similar place, so we have the same, we share the issues. And there are things we'll just, if the rent's cheap enough, I guess fuck it, right?
Yeah.
If the view is nice or the whatever, yeah, I guess it is. But so to answer your question, if I saw a ghost every, like, once a week, even once a week, God, I guess you're right. I guess if I got used to it, it'd almost be kind of cool.
Be like looking in the fridge. I'm like, oh, well. I mean, like, I...
like Ghostbusters style?
That would freak my shit.
Yeah, but you're also much more scared of ghosts than Ridley seems to be.
Yeah.
Wait, so why would you want to say yes to
that question? Because I'm one of those people who's like, well, I don't know. Maybe we don't understand certain things about science, about the paranormal, that, you know, that classic, like, what is magic now is science in 100 years. I think that was another Arthur C. Clarke quote. It's like, so I don't know. Like,
well, there's also, I mean, this is what we say a lot on this podcast is like, there are unexplained things that people attribute to ghosts, and it could be like any number of things that we don't know, you know, like parallel dimensions stuff.
Yes.
Like.
Yeah. So in other words, when you think you see a ghost, it could actually be something a lot fucking crazy.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Or even like, you know, defining the ghost as a person where we don't even have a proper definition for a soul, you know, like.
Yeah. So if I say yes, that means I'm saying yes to, like, maybe they're not even ghosts. Maybe they're beings from another reality.
I want to pin it down to, do you believe
spirits
in ghosts?
Spirits of the deceased.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Okay. Are you superstitious at all?
Yes, but I think it's rooted in sort of neuroticism that I understand is irrational. So, like, I don't actually think that if I do something, it's going to make something happen.
But you do it as a just in case. So the weird thing is that you do believe it.
But I don't rationally, logically believe in it. I think it's like a neurotic, like, I wouldn't even call it OCD because, like, I know I don't have OCD. It's not that extreme.
Right.
And I can't even think of anything I've done. I have a fear of flying. And so, like, I had a girlfriend a long time ago who gave me something and said, like, as long as you have this. And so I'll bring that on the plane every now and then. But it's not like if I don't bring it, I'll go, oh, fuck.
I don't have
I'm not
thing.
Protected.
Right.
Yeah.
it's just like a psychological comforting. It's like it might as well be like, I don't know. I don't even want to say because this is too logical. It might as well be like a Xanax, but obviously that's actually rooted in science. But like,
I think the difference is once Dumbo knew that he didn't need the feather to fly, he didn't carry it around still. You know what I mean? So it's like, because he definitely believed that the feather made him fly. You don't definitely believe that this thing is going to protect
you. Definitely not. No.
It's 2018. It's so funny to me because it's still amazing, but the halftime show that's going on, and this is the first football game of the season, and they're not showing the halftime show, but it was a person doing frisbee tricks with their dog on the field.
I would rather see that than a fucking marching band.
Me too. I just
or
think
Beyonce.
It's hilarious because you have to pitch that. And then like people have to say yes to it. It's like, hey, what about Hillary, man? She's got that, you know, that dog. She does a trick.
All right.
I can't believe I was so not distracted by the game that I didn't even notice that. By the way,
well,
so
it was just probably a wide shot back to go to commercial.
Yeah, they didn't play it.
So and final point, which will transition seamlessly, is that like athletes, you know, when they're superstitious about like a pair of socks or some like, you know, Joe Boo and Major League or whatever. Like that actually might have an effect because if they believe enough or don't believe enough that might affect their performance. But
100%.
Whether I have a thing with me on the plane is not going to affect the fucking flight.
Yeah. I mean, just to tag on to the athlete thing, I think a lot of that is tradition too. Like hockey players that get into the playoffs don't shave their beards, and I don't think it has anything to do with superstition at this point. It's just like that's what we do.
Yeah,
you're not doing it. Wait. You play hockey, right? Like, yeah, sure. Extra stress, extra. Don't think about it. Everything. Yeah.
Now, were you raised religious at all?
I guess I'd have to say yes, technically speaking. But let me explain. So, my father was not religious. What we would call a Gentile in the Jewish business.
Always seems like a slur to me.
It really just depends on how you say it. Gentile or goy, that's actually a straight up
goy is the slur, right?
Although technically I think goy means like all of the nations or something. It's once again like Jew, not inherently a slur, but it's been co-opted.
But goy is also Yiddish, right? It's not like slang.
It might be actually Hebrew. Goyim, I think goyim might be from Hebrew,
but it's not slang. It's not some made up word.
No, I think it is. I think it is in the Bible.
Right.
I mean, yeah, literally.
So that's that kind of saves it a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like the word Jew, like some people say Jew, like some people can make Jew sound like a slur. It's not a slur.
Right. Or Jap.
Well, Jap is a slur, right?
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know it. What?
I mean,
depends. Really?
Jewish American princess, that's the one you're talking about. That's absolutely a slur.
That's not the one. I'm just
Japanese.
The Japanese people.
Yeah.
That's a slur?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
To say Jap?
Well, yeah. What did you think? How could it not be?
Well, I just thought it was an easier way to say Japanese.
Oh, my God. Thank God you've never said that in public.
Well, I'm sure I have.
Here's my girlfriend. Are you a Chinese, Korean, or a Jap?
Well, okay. First of all, I would never say that. I wouldn't say a Jap.
Then.
I don't know. I think a history teacher was calling them Japs once, and I was like, "Oh, he's
you
just
might
being,
have a racist history teacher."
He was just—I thought he was being economical with his syllables.
Oh,
I didn't
my
know.
God, he's being economical with something. His acceptance.
Okay, well, hey, I guess I learned something today.
That is an important lesson to learn. By the way, I remember learning that Oriental was like the last word of my generation that was acceptable in my lifetime, and then became.
Right.
Racist. I was
exactly.
Like, Oriental. That's what Asian people are. And then suddenly it's like, whoa, that's
not
okay to say that.
Not people. Yeah. Like
But that one makes sense.
I was comfortable being called Oriental my whole life.
Oh, Jesus. I'm sorry, Willie.
No. But I mean, like, because that's.
I just dropped the N word.
But like
no,
I said.
No, there's much worse.
Yeah. Like, that.
But the Oriental thing made sense to me, like, historically, because, like, you would say from the Orient. Like, I learned that the differentiation was you would call an item Oriental, you wouldn't call a person Oriental, you know. Also, it's not as all-encompassing as people were using it.
I also, for some reason, don't think of it as, for instance, not as harsh as Jap. Like, I think of Jap as only a slur.
Oriental is blowing my mind.
Like, it's like, you aren't always hearing that even 50 years ago. Like, damn, Orientals. It might be used innocuously, not that it wouldn't still be offensive as, like, oh, the Orientals, but, like, not inherently racist.
Well, yeah, it's just because your grandma didn't know.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks for telling me about...
Oh, where do I rate on the... Is that it? Or...
No, okay. There's more.
What about with JFK? Do you think that the government was involved with a cover-up of any sort, no matter what you think happened? Do you think the government was involved in a cover-up?
I feel like it's even weird to say this at this point. Like, I don't know enough. But it seems like there's enough sketchy stuff, and the government is sketchy, and so long ago. All right, yes.
You think that there was a cover-up? Is that the way Willie asked it?
Oh, wait. There's a cover-up of who the real killer was, or who the killer was, period.
Well, that the government was involved with the cover-up, meaning that there was premeditated something. Well,
yes. I'm going to say yes. Fuck it. And I admit, I'm trying to purposely become go on the Willie scale, end of the scale.
Well, you haven't done a very good job.
Okay, shit. Go on.
God, what else is there? We're almost at the end now. That's usually the last one. Are there any that we're missing?
I know that there are, but I don't know if we're going to...
You don't have this written down?
No, we need to write it down. We need to be more professional about this.
Well, let's see. You hit UFOs, ghosts, Bigfoot, JFK. Those are four. 9/11?
Right? I don't know if we need to get it. 9/11...
fall under JFK?
9/11's too big. Like,
well, I'm saying like if there's like four quadrants of belief, is it like UFOs, ghosts, Bigfoot covers cryptids, and then JFK kind of covers all conspiracy-minded thought?
JFK is supposed to sort of cover the, like, the more real-world, less sci-fi kind of...
Yeah, so I'm trying to think,
because,
like,
we could even say, we could start adding in New World Order, but that's just pretty loaded. That's very good. Do you believe that secret societies supersede individuals' oath to the country when they take office? Do you like that?
I would just say, yeah.
One's
for now,
loyalty to a secret society? I don't know.
Can we just say, do you believe in the Illuminati?
No.
Okay. Do you believe that, like, the skull and bones are nefarious?
No.
Do you think that George Bush has a loyalty toward the skull and bones over America when he's the president?
No.
Okay. I think that's what Willie was asking.
But pretty much, I'll show you some stuff where, oh, hey, they had a little meeting and then all and a secret meeting.
Willie, this is not the time for you to convince people. We're just trying to get a reading here.
Willie, I'm telling you, you see my note card. It's a 3x5-inch note card that's covered on one side in writing
four
and
by
half
six
of the other side.
Yeah, that's definitely
okay,
four by
I'm
six.
Sorry. I'm not
that's one of the big
some
ones.
Sort of size wizard.
You should say that you are going to be very much a Willie on this episode.
Well, let's just put it this way. Based on I researched the topic, and I even researched debunking the topic, and I couldn't find enough evidence in my 30 minutes of research to support the debunking side.
Okay.
So I'm just going full-blown Willie on this.
But I would give you, like, almost like a 3 on the WoW scale.
Really?
Which is, like, more of a me. Yeah, because you don't believe
in
ghosts.
I'd say 50-50. Because I said I believed
in
aliens. I said all three for aliens. All three.
Wait, we do... Okay, we need to redefine
this. I said no for
Bigfoot. Because I don't believe in ghosts either.
I said no for... You're right.
Yeah.
I do deserve a 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got to change the ghost thing, because I don't believe in ghosts.
Wow.
Well,
I believe in something else.
But now we're getting more. See, now we're getting because I don't trust the government. But like, if you are a conspiracy person, you lean toward Willie, right? So it's not a per. It's not Wade or Willie necessarily. It's like how much of a skeptic or believer are you?
You're right.
And all that being said, this topic, if we may get into it, not that I'm trying to.
You really want this thing to be on the rails, huh?
I did research. I spent 30 minutes learning about this. It's about UFOs, so it falls right in the fucking sweet spot for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Willie, what are we talking about?
Today, we're talking about UFOs in relations to nuclear weapons. There are some specific examples, and I'll get into a few, but what seems to be is that most UFO stories... No, wait, hold on. Let me lead this.
Generalize it, and then you can tell me if what I'm thinking is right as a layman?
Yeah.
So I think the theory is that, like, we weren't having a lot of, like, alien UFO sightings or activity until we started doing the nuclear testing, and then a bunch more, like, UFO sightings started coming up.
Yeah.
And so now they're sort of around any time there is, like, a nuclear explosion.
Or the holding nuclear facilities. Yes.
Right.
You're right. You did. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So basically nukes summon the UFOs and is one way to say it. Cause Roswell was 1947.
Mm-hmm.
The first nuclear testing, I'm sure, was in what, the 1944.
It was the '40s, right?
If Hiroshima and Nagasaki were 45, I assume they were testing at least in 44, 43.
Yeah.
So let's just say mid, early 40s. I got a lot to say on this.
All I'm saying is I don't think it was in the 30s.
No, 100%. Yeah. One or two years before. And then with that, I don't know if you were going to say this, but, you know, Foo Fighters is a term that came up in World War II where they saw technically advanced craft in the air. And everyone assumed it was somebody else's, and they're like, oh, fuck, they got something better than us.
Mm-hmm.
And so later on, years later, they're like, oh, fuck, you guys thought that was us. It wasn't us. We thought it was you. It wasn't you.
Well,
but go on.
And I want to say this. So I had this thought tonight, and I thought, you know, whether you believe in UFOs or not, the truth is there have been many, many sightings by military personnel, not fucking kooks claiming that they're abducted. Like,
yeah.
Rational,
not your
career
neighbor.
Military, exactly, military personnel. And including, you know, this came up in my research today, the Advanced Aviation Threat Identification Program. Are you aware of that, Willie?
Yeah.
So that was a government-funded program, the Department of Defense, over 5 years, $22 million funded looking into investigating UFOs. So, you
five
know,
years...
It, over 5 years, $22 million was put into this program.
What era?
Up to 6 years ago. It ended in 2012.
Okay. Yeah, and this is the thing that they brought up recently.
It came out about a year ago.
And so the funny thing is that they have for decades said that, oh, all of our UFO research says that this leads to nothing. We don't need to spend time or attention on this anymore. This realization is saying, hey, we're still secretly spending money on this, and a lot of it.
Exactly. And
which is the most alarming thing. This came out last November.
Yes, and there was, you can watch footage online from an, I think, F-18, where these pilots are following a UFO, which UFO doesn't necessarily mean alien. It means unidentified flying object. But they're like, what the fuck is that, bro? They're talking like that, which is pretty
funny.
But
the crazy thing is, I don't know if you know this.
The pilots are like me. Pilots are fucking, they're smart, but they're bros.
Yeah.
The footage that you see doesn't match the footage that the guy, that when they released it, he talked about a lot of other things that this craft was doing. And they took that all out and they didn't release that.
Sure.
So they released the video. You have to assume that everything else he described was real too.
Yeah.
Stopping on a dime, changing directions, like things that prove that advanced technology is at use.
And it's weird what the military will allow to be released and what it won't allow to be released, and et cetera, to that point.
Can I just say that, like, if we've known, and maybe this is not a point that needs to be argued, but if we have known about UFOs dating back to whenever you think we would have known about them, and I mean alien technology, I don't mean UFO, why would they why would they still need to be having this up until these last few years? Like, wouldn't, if they knew, do you understand what I'm saying? Am I being articulate
at all? Yeah, yeah. Well, basically, like, why, if they've known even up until now, how come it hasn't been leaked enough that, like, this one article means so much?
Why are they still spending that money?
So I want to finish my first point, and then I'll address that second point. So what I was saying is these people, these are military personnel. These are not, like, kooks and
these
stuff like that.
These are expert witnesses that have gone through training to be expert witnesses.
Is there a cabin fever term for flying too much?
Well, these aren't even people. I'm saying some of these credible witnesses aren't just people who are in planes. These are, like, you know, I believe the name Robert Solis is appropriate to this conversation.
Oh, my God. You're so proud of your 30
minutes
of research.
He was the captain at a Air Force base.
This is the biggest event of the 90s.
This is 1967.
Oh,
I'm saying of tonight. That this is the most
known.
This is the story.
So it was a Montana, correct, Air Force base.
Were you going to try and lead to this, and he's blowing his wad?
Oh, no. Yeah, it's great. It's great.
Well, no, this is come on. This is time to blow the wad, baby.
Okay.
Yeah. Foreplay is over. And he, you know, said that basically, you know, they saw these UFO and there was other evidence. And then the 10 Minutemen nuclear ballistic missiles were shut down. So the theory goes, and this is corroborated with other such incidents in Britain and possibly, I think, Russia, too. And, of course, other bases and stuff in America over the years, is that the UFOs are attracted, interested, and possibly even trying to fuck with the nuclear program, which begs the question of why. And I say it's either because they're like, don't kill yourselves, or they're like, we want to be able to shut you down if we want to come fuck with you.
Okay, hold on. let me add to that, because here's what I think it says. Here, okay, we'll get in. Sorry about the burp. Robert Solis's story, and he was at the UFO convention we went to, and I saw him speak. It was great.
Oh, okay. Still, like, recently.
Yeah, yeah.
He's still going.
2 years ago. Now. Year and a half. Robert Hastings put together some people, and they all... Anyways, they've put out books. They're out here talking about these things that they witnessed, and... This is the biggest drop for me that I don't even know if I've even mentioned on this show, but basically, sure, I don't think that aliens helped build the pyramids, and you know, I don't think the technology came from them, whatever. I think that ancient humans were more intelligent than we thought. I don't want to give that intelligence away, but I think that aliens started showing up when we started using the nukes, because we're affecting their life at this point. These nukes go beyond the 11 spatial dimensions that we can't perceive, and they go beyond the parallel dimensions that we are unaware of, maybe learning about. It's so crazy to think about, but parallel dimensions, multi-dimensions, spatial dimensions.
So that suggests you believe that the aliens aren't even from necessarily other planets in our galaxy. They're from actually other dimensions.
Yeah, that, or they could even be from here first, and they've been here longer than us. We haven't noticed them because we're just doing our own thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, is that when it comes to nuclear facilities, whatever happens there is fucking top secret. So the only way you'll ever hear a story about a UFO at a nuclear site affecting these missiles is from a whistleblower. And so we have these people coming out as whistleblowers saying, hey, I work for the fucking Air Force. UFO showed up, shut down our fucking missiles. We couldn't do anything about it. And then it came back online. So you can't attach the idea that, they were trying to show us that they're in charge. It's just like, whatever is happening, these nuclear missiles, all of our nuclear weapons are affecting them somehow, is what I think. And so here, and I can't just say that either, I know, but it's not inferring as much. Here's the thing that people don't know even about.
I think it's inferring exactly the same amount.
But, like, yeah, Well, I don't think so because what to shut down a nuclear missile, like their attention is at the nuclear missile. Roswell, and I don't even know if I knew this till recently, but Roswell UFO goes down, lightning storm, you know, Roswell Air Force Base was the only facility in the world that held the nuclear bombers back then.
Mm-hmm.
The bombers that dropped missiles on Nagasaki and
Hiroshima.
I was like, is it Hiroshima? Hiroshima?
Shit, I'm pronouncing it wrong. Not Oriental.
But those bombers were at Roswell. So you have these nuclear bombers at Roswell. You have the most famous crashed UFO case in the history around nuclear weapons. Rendlesham, they had nuclear weapons there. That's Europe's Roswell. So and you hear whistleblowers talking about UFOs being downed around other nuclear sites and visiting other nuclear sites. It's so top secret that like only a whistleblower could get this out. And so only if you are looking for this stuff are you going to find it, because for some reason whistleblowers are still bad news bears over here. We treat them as enemies. They're revealing secrets.
Well, from the point of view of the establishment, the government, whoever, corporations, they are.
But what whistleblower has been a good guy in the past 10 years? And there have been so many.
I'm saying I think they are to us, but they're never going to be considered good guys to, like, the powers that be.
I know. I was just saying that because, you hear, like, Obama saying that, like, when he was there, you know, he talked about whistleblowers are a good thing. He made comments about that and whatever. I'm just saying that, like,
yeah, but he was lying.
I know. He was.
Well, who knows what his agenda was?
Went after Snowden.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, like, who knows what pressures he's in, which,
well,
by
exactly,
the way, brings,
but that's the entire point.
Brings it to the like I was watching as part of my research a YouTube clip of Larry King having like a panel that included Stanton Friedman and a guy named James Fox. Do you know who that is? He's like a younger UFO guy, apparently. And then Bill Nye. And Bill Nye was the skeptic. And they were talking about like the idea of like, why isn't any presidents ever investigated this? And then it was this whole thing like, well, lots have tried, but they're not allowed to. And
yeah.
Well, who would stop them? Who has that power over? And you know, whether there's secret societies controlling everything or not, like,
well, these
or
days,
deep state, there's like a lot of moving parts.
There's moving parts, but these days all their funding is coming from the people who don't want that stuff out, right? I mean, like,
and so here's the first time I've ever heard this articulated in a way that actually resonated. So they were asking, like, I think it was Bill Nye, who was a skeptic, was like, well, like, why don't they just fucking announce themselves already and land and say, or why doesn't our government say they exist, or like, if there's so much evidence, why, like, okay, let's go already.
This is what Bill Nye is saying. Okay.
And so Stanton Friedman, who I assume you must know, he's So he was saying, you know, imagine what that would lead to on a global scale, as far as like, okay, wait a minute. So we are now merely one planet of life in the galaxy or universe or multidimensional, however you want to think of it, context. And so it's like, that means that like, we have to think of ourselves almost like a nation dealing with a new nation that's autonomous, that's separate from us. So that means, like, who is in charge of this planet?
Yeah.
Do we base it on, like, GDP, population? Like, it becomes this whole fucking geopolitical issue about, well, who the fuck represents Earth?
Who? And that, okay. I'm glad that you brought this up, because I believe that Bill Nye and Carl Sagan are two of the biggest, and Neil deGrasse Tyson, they're so big that I feel like they have been approached by secret people to tell them to basically deny their belief in aliens.
That's a very paranoid point of view, though.
But when you look at Carl Sagan's existence, and you look at everything that he's done, if you look at everything that he's written, he promotes the idea of we're not alone. He promotes this idea. His fucking, you know, honestly, Contact, if you, I didn't read the book, which, sure, I'm an idiot, but the movie takes this moment of something happened and nobody believes that this thing happened, and you know, Jodie Foster's quick drop through is so abstract, but like we have a hard time communicating and talking about moments like this because it comes down to belief, and Aliens comes down to belief, and Carl Sagan, his last episode of Cosmos, I can't watch Neil deGrasse Tyson's version because Carl Sagan was so much more eloquent, and he was so I don't know, whatever, I don't mean to compare him. Carl Sagan's last episode of Cosmos was Who Speaks for Us? Mm-hmm. Who Speaks for Humans? And this, and so he was, to me, I believe that he was trying to communicate the fact that you have to imagine that sure, other things exist in the universe, A, but B, that they're here. And so you look at Bill Nye. When I watch Bill Nye's arguments, and I'm trying to be a level-headed guy that isn't, I love Bill Nye. I fucking love Bill Nye. But when I watch him speak on that episode of Larry King, I go, oh, fuck, he is, I don't know if he's speaking for science at this point because he is denying something without giving it a chance to be something. He's such a denier.
Well, and I'll say that, I love Bill Nye, and mostly because when he's on the other side of the debate with climate change, I'm like, yeah, he's the man. But it's interesting because it's like I assume his position is, look, until there's actual physical evidence, like as far as we know, there's no – in the public sphere, there's not been like, oh, here's a piece of a crashed spaceship we can examine. This is all still in the realm of like it's their shit stored in Area 51 and so-and-so saw something and so-and-so saw – but like there's never been like a official on the record, hey, here's an actual piece of metal that we've discovered from a crash site. We're going to take it to Stanford University and analyze it, and all this data and research and scientific – papers are all going to be public and peer reviewed. Like until there's that, Bill Nye is going to be like,
that's impossible because these separate entities that have secret factions, the Navy, the Air Force, the Army, the Marines, the CIA, the FBI, DARPA, all of these secret entities don't work together. Let's say that aliens exist and nobody believes it, and one secret, the CIA, only the CIA out of all of the secret entities, only the CIA knew about it. Do you think that they're going to go tell all the other ones that, hey, aliens are real, let's all adjust?
I think that there'd be a night in a bar when someone in the CIA had a few too many drinks.
I think so too. Now, if you look on the internet, there are tons of whistleblower stories. Uh-huh. Even Gore. Okay, this is what's weird to me. When you look at past leaders that didn't say anything when they were in office, but as soon as they get out, Gorbachev is a guy who says that this is fucking real. Paul Hellyer, the old Canadian defense minister. He's a guy that's come out and said, this is real. You look at people like, sure, Jimmy Carter, he treats his UFO experience as a real thing. The guy who ran all of the UFO studies back in the day, Project Blue Book, he comes out and says, there's nothing to this. And then as soon as he's not paid by the Air Force, he then starts his own alien research project.
And like, I'll tell you why from a skeptic's point of view. Because he's not being paid by the Air Force anymore. So he's got to get paid by somebody, right, Wade?
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole point. Like, and I've sort of lost the train of conversation because...
You're watching the football game.
No, because I think Bill Nye, addressing a very early point that you made, wouldn't have to be approached by the anti-UFO lobby because... He just doesn't believe it.
Like, yeah, he's a hardcore scientist who's like, until there's actual evidence
right.
that we can peer review.
But take this, for example, nuclear facility.
But most people don't even know. Because like I don't know where we're at, and you keep jumping all over the place. Because I was more interested in like who speaks for Earth when the aliens come, right?
Yeah. Let's talk about that.
I just think that's interesting, and I don't know what the answer is.
Wherever they are. Let's say they land in China. America's going to step in there.
Well, we'll try, but there's no way for us to do that without China letting us.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, and, you know, I was going to say, like, it's great that we have the internet now. We should be able to, like, vote online and stuff, but it's so susceptible to hacking and, like, trolls that, like, if the aliens came and we said, like, hey, who should talk to the aliens? The number one result would be like Bodie McBoatface or some fucking bullshit.
And Hulk Hogan is going to be the guy. He didn't want to do it, but that's where we voted.
And it's just like, it's a little tangent. I just like the internet is the worst.
I wonder what that would do to our collective. I mean, it would have the same effect 9/11 had collectively times 100.
But here's the thing.
Well,
though,
John Stewart made a really funny, and this isn't true because of what we're talking about, but like there's this fucking LeBron James barbershop show now, and they're talking about like how black people are never going to be respected in America.
Because you referred to it as this fucking LeBron James barbershop show right away. Disrespect.
No, because he's a basketball player, and I don't find him compelling as an entertainer.
Really, have you seen?
If it were Chris Rock's barbershop, I would be like, yeah, this show's great.
I know. I doubt LeBron is hilarious.
It's LeBron James and like three athletes, and then like Chance the Rapper, and then Jon Stewart, and probably none of those people are actually there except for Jon Stewart and LeBron James. But Jon Stewart made this point because they're talking about inequality and race and stuff. He's like, what would be the one thing that would unite the human race if aliens came? Mm-hmm. And I think he's right to a point. Like, some of the tribalism here would stop. But then I didn't think about, like, what you guys are saying, which is, like, who speaks for us, you know? And, like, what's their agenda? And who are they getting paid
by? My thing is, I think about that all the time, and I'm like, we need to figure that out before they get here. We have to assume, not assume, we have to collectively agree that it's possible, so we have to choose somebody.
But I would bet you that conversation has been had, or
absolutely
is being had. There's no reason for people like us to know about it.
But what it comes down to is military power. That's who's going to win that battle. And so here's the thing, is that everything that we're talking about comes down to when top secret stuff, when I think of what nuclear facilities, I think of we don't even know how many we have. We don't know where they're at. We definitely have the most, and we have so many. And we, you know, we've always, in me growing up, I've always had denuclearization on my mind, and it just hasn't happened. And denuclearization to us means you got to get rid of yours, and that's it. We got rid of a lot of Russia's, you know, great. Sure, we might have gotten rid of a couple, but we have so many fucking right now. And that's not something that we collectively think about.
But do you think that that's motivated by... let's live in a world where, for a second, theoretically, the aliens approached our government and they were like, you've got to stop using nukes. You're going to kill yourselves. But wouldn't the aliens be saying that because that's the only weapon we have against them?
Well, that's it. That's the big question.
Yeah. And for sure.
And I would probably want our government to be savvy enough to think that.
Like, right.
Oh, this incredibly powerful species, which clearly proves they can not only shut down our greatest defense, but also like elude, you know, whatever the government's involvement has been in, you know, disinformation. But like the point is, like they're pretty fucking powerful, clearly.
But like if they
want us to put down our guns.
So like, yeah, well, if the aliens are like playing, if they're doing like the Machiavellian thing, right? Then they're saying like, oh, hey, if you, like, just stop making nukes, we'll give you, like, this technology to make, like, a laser gun, and you can easily, like, defeat Russia with this. But then they're also doing it. They're doing it with Russia, too.
Yeah. Are you
they're
into going peace,
over,
or?
They're over, well, they're going over to Russia and going, like, hey, listen. You can have this laser gun
we're,
if you
we,
just
and
stop
we
making
only
nukes.
Know you guys. We don't know anybody
what
else
would,
here.
What would they? What would we do? What would? Trying to think. What if they said like cure to cancer, and then they proved
but,
it?
But hold on, hold on. The answer is, to that inherently is why would a government care to cure cancer? That doesn't benefit them. What would? How would it benefit?
That's
them?
What I'm asking. I'm asking what would be the thing that they would trade. Because I don't the point of the laser gun thing. You're saying, obviously, some James Bond level or Independence Day level.
Well, no, I'm
super laser.
No. I'm not operating under that. I'm saying like alien technology, right? Like
yeah.
If that's how we got the stealth bomber or whatever by going through the Roswell ship and deconstructing it. What's the backwards
reverse engineering
that
or
stuff.
Making a deal. So there's conspiracy theories about us making deals with
sure.
Aliens.
But Willie's right. Like we would never trade a cure for cancer because those guys are getting paid to not cure cancer. Like politicians want cancer.
Why?
Because they're getting paid by the pharmaceutical company.
Jesus Christ! Follow the money. Where does it all end?
It's weird when you look at that because the American Medical Association is the standard for what we teach everyone, whether it be you teaching doctors. It's how we treat people. And
I will say this. I just went to that funeral. My friend is a surgeon.
That funeral?
Oh, well, if you're a listener of the podcast, you know what I'm talking about. But my friend just died of alcoholism. Like, his liver failed.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's like
sorry
bad
to
news.
Hear that.
Thank you. And my friend is a doctor. He's a surgeon. He's an orthopedic surgeon. And I asked him, I was like, how rampant is that, like, the whole drug company coming in, like, giving you money?
Fuck.
And he said, I have never been approached by anybody. He knows that it exists, but he himself has not been approached. And so it's a little...
That's good.
It's a little ray of light in, like, this
it really is
cynicism.
Because I was expecting...
Yeah. So...
Even my first guy was like, here, take these pills instead. I was like, what? Why? Well, because they're free.
For painkillers?
No, I don't know. I just remember him handing me some pills that I was going to go get through a prescription. He's like, no, just take these ones. And I was
well, they have samples they can give out.
I mean, I certainly, to be clear, I do not believe that there's any conspiracy to suppress the cure for cancer. I just think cancer is really fucking hard to cure.
Perhaps.
Perhaps.
No, I mean, I'm saying, like, I wouldn't...
I mean, I just...
Listen,
it's,
I wouldn't put it past our politicians to be like, we need to suppress the cure for cancer.
Let me make something clear as an analogy. There is a cancer that's affecting the entire planet called climate change that couldn't be more open as far as, like, what we're talking about. Like, there are people who don't want it cured because they make money off of it.
Right.
I'm saying if cancer was in the same category, we would know about it because just like with climate change, we would know both sides of the table because they'd both be as vocal as people in the climate change debate about
it. I feel
that's
like
an
it'd
interesting
be easier
point, but
to
I'm
suppress.
Saying if the aliens came and said, because we don't know about the aliens, right? Mm. So if they were like, we'll cure your cancer, just stop developing nukes.
Yeah.
I think the politicians would be like, pass.
No, I agree. I don't... And you know, I had a thing where I thought to myself naively at these kind of spikes based on whatever's happening in the news of like genuine fear about nuclear war happening. Something that is comforting to me, and this ties right back to your question about me being superstitious and these carrying things onto planes, thinking they'd have any power at all whatsoever, whether the plane crashed or not, is I actually thought in the back of my head, well, I bet if this shit was really going down, the aliens would come in and shut down the missiles. That's how I fucking comfort myself.
But there are stories of them doing that.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I fucking choose to believe that they would if, like, World War III was imminent and we were like, all right, that's it. Launch the fucking nukes.
They're going to save us because they're actually saving themselves. It has nothing to do with saving us.
I don't know why they would do it. That's the question we're still trying to figure out. But they could and would.
But I think that, yeah. So, like, if that's the scenario.
Gosh, that's so hopeful. I love that.
But if that's the scenario, then that. It is a little hopeful, but in a different way, because it means that they do operate on the same plane as us. Because if they were adverse to us, they would want us to kill ourselves, right? They would be like,
yeah,
get rid of these motherfuckers.
There's this whole fucking planet of resources, and there's all these assholes there.
unless nuclear war would irreparably damage the resources they want to go after.
Right, but then aren't we doing that very slowly anyway? Or are they thinking we'll die off and then it'll regenerate?
To address this and go all the way back to that, you know, CNN thing I was watching, the Larry King thing. Like, one of the other skeptics on that show, not Bill Nye, somebody from SETI was like, well, how it's been like 70 years, like, why haven't they? And I always think, okay, well, maybe it has something to do with time. Like, their time scale is different than ours.
Sure.
I mean, if they're beings that can travel, you know, at faster than the speed of light or through dimensions.
I would say their time scale has to be different than ours, right?
Yeah.
It has to be.
Yeah, like the last 70 years to them is not what we think of as 70 years.
Especially because we have a definition.
You don't think that they do? Isn't that just sort of inherent? Like, wouldn't you want to keep time?
I don't know. I mean, like, when you...
Do you think we're the only species who have birthdays?
I think that the only species on Earth, yes.
Well, yeah, on Earth, but I'm saying like higher intelligence.
But when you find out that plants are actually communicating with each other, I don't mean a higher intelligence, but it just makes me say that it's not as important, no matter, like.
But plants exist with each other. They have a very like symbiotic relationship. Like, they just want to live.
Well, picture this. When you see a gray alien, let's just take the gray alien and
what? Sorry, if anyone's wondering, these coasters I'm using at Wade's apartment.
Yeah, no, listen. The only reason I have these is because my brother-in-law made them, and I feel bad throwing them out.
His day job? Because I would tell him to not quit it.
No, it's... Wait. You would tell him to not quit it if it
I would
were
tell him
his
to not
day job.
Quit his day job if...
If it this, was his day
if
job.
These are not his, if this is not his day job, I would tell him to not quit his day job. If
so
this
the
is his day job,
said.
I would not say that because I would feel like
right.
I don't want to offend him and his entire fucking source of income.
Just dry him off on the rug there and then it should reset.
Okay. Do they come with steps, these coasters? Step one, put your drink on it. Step two, lift your drink up with one hand while holding it down to the table with another hand. Step three, dry it off. Step four.
I'm giving you those steps right now as an experienced user.
I'm just saying, you
don't romanticize anything in your apartment. You don't keep around, even though it's not practical.
No. I totally get why you keep these around. It doesn't mean I can't mock them.
You can mock them all you want, and I'll defend them until I die.
No, you should absolutely. Well, you understand that they're also completely impractical.
Well, they're saving the table, but yeah, then they fall off, and then you have to dry.
Do they do the same thing with a bottle of beer, or is it just the amount of condensation?
No,
it's the condensation.
They have the built-in air spaces between the. They have a little.
Got it. If anyone hasn't figured it out by now, every time I lift my drink up, the coaster is stuck to it, and then it falls off of it. And you've been hearing that.
And it crashes to the ground.
Yeah, and then I haven't drawn any attention to it till now. And that's our topic for today. Should Wade's brother stop making coasters?
Well, you know, he only made them once. This is not an ongoing thing. Yeah, I'll buy
Good.
New coasters. He makes T-shirts. I'm wearing one right now.
And it's staying on your body.
It is stuck
time.
To it, though. You can't tell.
Yeah.
It is stuck
and
to
the
it.
Logo is pretty
so
centered,
so he knows what
right?
he's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's use this opportunity to take a quick break.
Good.
And
I need a pee-pee.
And then we'll come back and we'll continue our talk about nukes and UFOs.
And what is the agenda of these beings?
Yeah. We can speculate a lot on that. All right. We'll be back in 2 and 2. Chuck Woolery, 2 and 2. Sorry.
It's okay.
What pizza did you order?
Fucking Lucifer's, dude.
Which one?
The Zucca.
What's that one?
That's the pumpkin one.
Ugh. I'm anti. I'm so anti-pumpkin.
So good.
I'm anti-pumpkin. The best one is the cashew chicken bacon one.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I've never had that one.
Oh, dude. So good.
Is it... What's the cashew part of it?
Cashews?
There's just cashews on it.
Then chicken and bacon?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they drizzle it with pesto. I don't know if you like pesto.
I love it. Dude, that sounds great.
You gotta get it.
I don't eat a ton of meat these days, but that sounds...
It's the best. And even if you get the chicken and bacon removed, it's still good.
It's so good that, like, anytime we've gotten it, I'm like... I eat my piece so fast because I'm like, I need to make sure I get another one.
Yeah. I mean, it's good pizza, that place. Are we recording right now?
Yeah.
I've gotten to the point where I have this philosophy now about food where I'm like, if there's a place that's 20% more money but 50% better, then I'm going to always choose that. Like the sushi places that are like way better than these shitty sushi places in our neighborhood.
But here's the thing about Lucifer's. The pizza's not better. The toppings are.
No, the pizza is better.
I don't like their crust that much.
Really?
No.
Yeah, I don't either. They have great combinations, and they have things that other people don't have. I love their pizza. But, at the end, I'm like, well, I'm eating this crust just because I got to get full.
It depends on what you're in the mood for. Like, if I want, like, a flat New York-style thing, then I'll do tomato pie. Have you ever had that? It's just, it's just really good at, like, that style.
Mm-hmm.
I like crispy crust.
You're saying that when the aliens come and ask for an exchange in this bargain,
who the fuck
is
going to tell the
Lucifer's
alien about
pizza?
Are we going to let some fucking New Yorker, some Chicagoan, some fucking Italian?
How much is going into the episode? Are we back? Have we just been back?
Yeah.
I mean, I assume, I don't know how you, what is that, what happens over the break?
Oh,
usually.
Well, if there's not an ad, we're going to run a thing that we'll record after this that you're going to be involved in.
Like a sketch?
No, not necessarily. Can be.
Okay.
But the listeners will have already heard it.
I'm saying the question we have is what...
Well, let me just do this because of my minor OCD.
Sure.
Welcome back to Real Life Sci-Fi. We're talking to Ryan Ridley. Ridley, list your credits.
My credits?
Yeah.
My professional working credits.
Well, yeah. Why do we care about you?
Well, I was a writer and a producer on a show called Ghosted on Fox, which was supposed to be a comedy version of The X-Files, a half-hour version of Ghostbusters, in theory.
And then they bailed on it.
Yeah, and it became like a workplace comedy. And, you know, I was really excited about that show because if you're a fan of this, I assume you're a fan of, you know, that kind of stuff, and
right.
I am too.
Yeah.
Before that, I was writer, producer, voice actor on a show called Rick and Morty.
Ever I don't know if our it? Listeners would have heard of that.
And then I don't know, some other shit community.
Do you want to talk about the Ghosted thing for a minute, or would that hinder your career?
Well, I guess it depends. I mean, would it hinder your podcast? Given that we're on this other topic,
oh, I don't care. We can get. We're just.
We never.
About
we
I
never.
Think,
we let, never
let's
need
see
to
how
get
it goes,
on topic.
And then I can tell you
because
tomorrow.
I feel like our listeners would like some insight into that
sure.
show, right?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
like that show was supposed to be because like
it was so
people
like,
have
what,
people
what
have been people yeah. have been trying to do. This is why Willie and I need to have a show because we would do X-Files comedy, right?
Yeah,
and we were pitching a show around that same time. That I think like kind of got cut because Ghosted existed.
I heard that story actually another time from somebody else. So the same thing.
Yeah, because like nobody can figure out how to do comedy X-Files, right? And even Ghosted has bailed on it.
Well, it got canceled.
But I thought even before it got canceled, didn't they bail
yes.
on it?
Yeah, yeah.
It became like you said, a workplace comedy.
Yeah.
And like you didn't even work on those episodes,
no.
did you?
No, I said I would not be good for those episodes because I was really excited and really passionate about what you're talking about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so to work on a show that treated the sci-fi or the genre elements as like secondary, I'm like, well, I don't, it's a little bit of a bait and switch. I mean, I want to be able to do a good job as a professional writer. I told them straight up, I'm like, I wouldn't do a good job because I don't care about this version of the show.
Yeah. I think bait and switch is like the perfect keyword for anyone of our listeners who like tried to get into Ghosted and then was disappointed in the outcome. That's exactly why. Because they were like, oh, you're going to do like a sci-fi comedy. It'll be really fun. And then it just became The Office.
Well, yeah. I mean, and I'd say that, you know, it's a different case for the first 10 episodes versus the back six, which were The Office episodes. I mean, literally, like, they were shot like The Office. I think I never watched them, but I know they were shot mockumentary style. I don't think they were talking heads, but other than that, they were basically that format. And I don't think they ever went outside, or they rarely went outside The Office, which the first 10, they'd go on cases and this and that.
Yeah, that's all they would do.
It was just the first 10, you know, people probably aren't in love with. I mean, obviously, like, there was clearly, it got changed for a reason, like, no one was fighting for it. But there's a lot of reasons why shows fail creatively, and it like it usually has to do with, unfortunately, like just one person needs to be like, this is the fucking show, and right. These are the rules, and this is the tone.
Well, that's why
and
tone is very important. Celebrities,
exactly, and tone is very important because tone is look. Let's get 10 people in this room right now and say, do Comedy X-Files. Everyone knows what that means, right? Everyone yeah. knows the basics of what that means. You're going to get 10 different versions, 10 different tones, 10 yeah. different sensibilities. Yeah. There are going to be versions that are very broad. There are going to be versions that are almost nuanced to the point of, like, is this a fucking comedy anymore?
Right.
You know, and everything in between. And,
well, that's
and you,
like Seth MacFarlane's Orville or
yeah.
whatever, like, he only wanted to just make a Star Trek show.
Yeah.
So he started off doing very broad comedy. And now it's like, I don't know if it's still on or if it got canceled.
No, it's I think it's a hit. I mean, it got renewed for sure.
So it's like zeroed in on just becoming Star Trek.
Yeah.
There are very few jokes in it.
Yeah.
From what I've seen.
And I'll tell you, I got very confused because I remember it was funny to think about last season, you know, with both the Orville and Ghosted coming out. I was like, oh, this is fucking awesome. Like, yes, as a professional, but also as a fan of that kind of stuff, I was like, oh, what a great time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so excited. And even though, you know, these shows were canceled, or at the time this show was not canceled, but, you know, Last Man on Earth, you got a fucking end of the world comedy
yeah.
on Fox. You got fucking
right.
Son of Zorn before that, the time travel show before that. It's like,
what was the time travel show?
What was that called? I always fucking forget.
It was a comedy?
Adam Pally, yeah.
Oh, I don't even know.
Yeah,
if I
that
knew
was
this.
A Fox sitcom about time travel. So I'm just saying, like,
wow.
Fox was taking a lot of swings at genre comedies, and two in one season, and I was so excited. And then, like, yeah, Ghosted was what it was, and then Orville, I watched the pilot, and I was like, oh, okay, I don't hate it. Like, I'm like, it's in that kind of Galaxy Quest zone of like,
sure,
it's a Star Trek spoof, but still has a good enough story and good enough, like, they're taking the world serious enough where it's not a complete spoof. And then I randomly watched one episode way later in the season, and I was like, there's literally no jokes. I've been
right.
watching the show for 7 minutes, and there's
yeah.
not been one joke, which is, I guess, fine, but I go, I don't care. I'd actually want to see
yeah, yeah.
funny Star Trek.
Well, but that's the whole point. Like, he just wanted to make Star Trek, and so now he's just making Star Trek. And
yeah.
so for us, for the people who want to see, like, sci-fi comedy like Rick and Morty, it doesn't exist. Like, I don't know why it doesn't happen on the network level. I think they just don't trust. They just don't trust their audience enough to stick with it or something like that.
I know. I mean, it's not even audience. I think if it was up to the people who care about an audience sticking with something, then it would be their pilot version. I think it's Seth MacFarlane is like, I don't want to do.
Oh, I'm not.
Comedy.
I'm not meaning that one. Like that's the other one. I'm meaning Ghosted and.
Well, I could tell you from behind the scenes why, you know, everything that went wrong.
Well, because you didn't have like a showrunner who had a clear point of view.
Well, I don't even want to say that because that seems to assign the blame too specifically. I'm just saying like there's a lot of powers that be in these shows, and like it is a little bit like our government or any government where you kind of need a dictator who's like, no, fuck off. This is the show, you know, and kind of squashes any rebellion in the rank, any dissent in the ranks,
yeah,
you know,
right.
and that's not always good because, you know, I've worked for that type too. And like, it's good to a certain extent, but it's also bad.
Well, it's bad for you.
Yeah. Exactly. It's bad for me as a human being. Ghosted was a wonderful experience. I mean, like I was allowed to really express my opinion passionately, And I was listened to and respected a lot, and that's great, you know, but that only goes so far because I'm not ultimately the final decision maker.
Right. I just think that, like, for there to be a Comedy X-Files, you have to... I don't know why Ghosted switched horses midstream.
Oh, I mean, I think it was just a sort of desperate attempt to figure out how to make people happy.
Were they just like, they weren't happy with their ratings, so they were like, what's going to make people happy?
That's so
Let's
depressing.
Just do The Office.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it was, you know, I here's where I can get into, like, I don't think I can get in trouble for this because this is honestly pure speculation, but like, I assume like Fox was kind of like, well, we tried, and you know, at this day and age, does like, I don't even understand how fucking broadcast TV works anymore. Like, there can't be a fucking giant hit anymore. I mean, This Is Us,
right,
I guess,
because,
is maybe like a recent example, or Roseanne, but. You know, how often are there giant, like, undeniable hits where the show is so powerful? And needless to say, Ghosted wasn't going to get to that place. Even if it was creatively firing in every cylinder in the first season, you still need time to grow an audience. And so, like, you're not powerful enough. So Fox just didn't care. They're like, we got two other fish
to
fry.
It's weird to me, though, because, like, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I think, is one of the... And we have friends on this, so it's biased. But, like, I think Brooklyn Nine-Nine is one of the best shows on television, and they got canceled and then like repicked up or whatever. I don't know what happened.
Yeah. That goes to say, like, goes to show that, like, even a show like that's a relative success.
Yeah. That's
doesn't really have enough power in this day and age.
I think it was doing well,
you know?
Right? Wasn't it doing well?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't even know what well is this day and age in broadcast TV. Like shows the biggest hit on a network. I don't, what does This Is Us get? I mean,
well,
not to talk
here's,
fucking inside
I think,
baseball,
I think
but,
like, the way to break it down is, like, our generation maybe a little bit watches network TV, but the generations below us, they just don't. And so
I don't fucking watch network TV.
Yeah, I don't either.
But hang on. My point is, the people who watch broadcast TV are the people who are familiar with that format. I'm talking about the baby boomers.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Big Bang Theory is so big, right? Because it's like, oh, this is that format that I'm used to. So I'm just going to watch this. I'm used to a laugh track. I'm used to setup, punchline type stuff. And so when you try to go outside of that on broadcast TV, like, those people don't watch because our generations aren't watching that.
Yeah, that might be true. I mean, it's funny to think that single camera comedy has been around for so long that's not even like this newfangled thing anymore.
It's not, but has it ever been a mainstream? Arrested Development was canceled. You know, like, Larry Sanders was HBO.
I know. I can't think of a single camera comedy.
The Office is single camera.
Okay,
Modern Family is single camera. Blackish is single camera. This is off the boat, fresh off the boat.
But I don't think that those should count as single camera because thematically, when you cut to someone's idea, that's, to me, I don't know.
That's the difference between mockumentary and single camera. But, like, Blackish, Fresh Off the Boat, those are not mockumentary-style single camera shows. I'm trying to think what else would fall into that category. Like,
but I'm saying a single camera comedy that did amazing.
But you know what you just did, though? You just listed the two single cameras that are underrepresented ethnic minorities.
Yeah, let me try to think of... You want me to name a white...
I want you to name a white non-mockumentary single camera that's been successful on network television.
Okay, let me think. In recent years, the answer is, let me think, ABC, NBC,
I would have said Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but then they canceled.
Well, that's mockumentary.
No,
style.
They don't cut to testimonials.
But you know, it's shot like that though.
It comes from the Office school of television.
Yeah,
same producer.
All right. Well, regardless, let's get back on topic.
Okay. Here's the thing. Fuck. Sorry, my mic keeps cutting out. That's what's making me.
But I think the reason that was valuable, and it's valuable to have you here, is to just give insight into, like, it's so hard to do a sci-fi comedy, and I think all of our listeners would want to watch something like that.
I'll tell you why it's also insightful, because I think of everything as being microcosms and the macrocosms, and you can learn a lot from, like, you know, smaller experiences that I think you can apply larger, like...
That's why I love sci-fi.
Well, that show, working on that show, was such an example of like, oh, there's no conspiracy. Like, people just, a bunch of people were fucking had different agendas and were fighting for
right.
different things, different ways to do something, and that's all it was. Like, you know, I think that's how the government probably works.
I don't think that there is a big conspiracy within the government, but I do think that, like, the higher ups in the government on both parties are paid to have an agenda, right? And so when you come in, because there's been senators, like these new first-term senators who come in and they think, like, oh, I'm going to fucking change the world. I'm going to, like, really fight for my constituents and stuff like that. They just get so beat down because they're not towing the party line. Like, they're not voting the way that they should or whatever. Like, you know, they quit or they succumb to it. So it's like this big fucking, like, awful thing that, like, it's like a big fucking bowl of jelly that you get sucked into.
And picture this, to add on top of what you're saying, you're the guy in charge of investigating UFOs that doesn't exist, that don't exist, and you get, you spent, was it 12 or 22, I forget.
22 spend, million.
And you get 22 million Black Project dollars to spend on something, whether it's real or not, that money being spent is just like, it's got to be crazy how the money actually goes somewhere, because it's Black Project money.
Right.
How do you spend money that doesn't exist and you're not supposed to trace?
Well, and that's the thing. Like, why is the military budget so big? Because of Lockheed Martin and, like, whoever else. What was the
Northrop Grumman and
Yeah. Who was the Cheney one?
Halliburton.
So it's like that. Those are the people calling the shots, right?
Yeah. And so it's weird because, like, if they're spending money on, well, okay, I'm to add to this. Our nuclear program at any given time in the United States is so fucking top secret that you probably can't even figure out what kind of soda machine is at a nuclear base. It's just top secret.
Question.
You can't even fucking figure
Imagine
out.
Imagine you're the fucking dude who restocks the soda machine at a nuclear base.
Like, you
let
have
alone
to
Area
have,
51.
My sister worked for Northrop Grumman, right?
Uh-huh.
And she only worked in HR, and she couldn't move up. She'd been there for years. She couldn't move up because our mom has a green card. And so she couldn't get the next level of security clearance. And that place is a top secret place, and so I'm just saying, within that weird frame of, you know, she just works at HR, she couldn't move up, and so the person that stocks the soda machines at Area 51, does that person exist? Does male or female?
I would imagine what happens in that scenario is they get a pallet of Coke, and then one of these, like, privates in the military has to restock the machine.
Yeah, you're right. The guy isn't driving up, hey, I'm the Coke guy.
They're just driving up to, like, how close are they getting? Meaning, like, are they in like, the first kind of gate?
I'll bet they get into, like, the loading dock.
Okay.
Where you can't really tell what's going on.
Yeah.
You drive your truck, then they unload it for you.
You make a couple jokes, and then all of a sudden everyone's looking at you. Hey, what's really going on here, guys? That's only 8 sodas this week.
Do you think they put tiny cameras in the cans of Coke?
My friend works for a kitchen that's inside a government facility.
NORAD?
No. And so he gets checked for weapons every time he goes in and out. But he does get in there. He gets in the cafeteria. I didn't ask him about the security inside.
What government base is this?
I don't know. I have no idea. Something
Which state
in Colorado.
Is it? Okay. It's not NORAD, huh?
It's not NORAD, because that's not close to Denver, really.
All right. Yeah, I don't know.
So all I'm saying is, it's fucking under wraps. And let's say you disgruntledly got fired or quit the Air Force, right? And or whatever. I say the Air Force because Malmstrom base is a base where they've had UFO encounters and they're whatever. If you were to make up a story about UFOs shutting off the nukes, I'm pretty sure if you made that up, they would shut you the fuck down. They would say, what the fuck are you doing, man? This isn't real and you're fucking freaking everybody out. Fucking knock it off. Or just kill you, whatever. I'm sure that I'm not saying that it's that easy. But they would shut you up. If you made up the fact that UFOs shut off nukes at a facility that is protected and supposedly functional.
So hang on, your point is because the story came out, it must be true?
I'm saying it could be because let's say that it was real, and you came out and you tell the story, and then the government, I say the government, you know, whatever, you're fucking particularly the defense, somebody comes out and says, hey man, fucking stop saying that, man. We don't want people to know the real truth. Or if they're getting pressured, hey, we're going to kill your baby, whatever. I think that that would make that person, if it was real, come out even harder and be like, these guys are fucking threatening me. The more public that I get, the better protection I have. Because when I release information, if I disappear in a weird way, it like proves that they got rid of
me. Well, but also don't people think that there's like disinformation campaigns where the government actually wants there to be stories about UFOs? Because the more of a ridiculous concept it becomes, then the more confused we all are and the more we kind of dismiss everything.
100%. And I think that, I mean, I think 80% of the UFO videos out there are faked. And I think of those, I don't know what percentage, but definitely some of them have been made by government employees within that disinformation idea.
I don't know what. I mean, I agree with everything you're saying, but why would they? Do you think they've got
only
like After
real.
Effects artists?
Only
going
if it's
like,
real.
Fuck yeah.
Wait, you both think that the military has people working on
sorry.
After Effects?
I only if they actually are doing that, then I'd say fuck yeah. I'm not saying that I believe that they do that. I'm saying if they were, though, they would have the best fucking effects people in the business.
Just to spread disinformation, you don't need to, because like you can just call everything crazy. You can just say like everything that's real, everything that like Billy Bob put on his fucking YouTube is disinformation, right? Because you just deny it. So even if it's real, you go like, no, that's fake. And then there are people who will take it upon themselves to fake shit because they want those YouTube views.
Oh, man, I saw this video of, and it got posted in a blog, and this is what the plan was all along. But it was like, hey, check out the security camera footage from some school in Ireland, 3 a.m., and it was all from like one security camera, and it was like lockers opening and
The painting shooting across the wall, chair moving,
something like that. Yeah,
I saw that.
And I was totally freaked out, and then I went onto YouTube and saw it debunked, like, you know, full fucking pausing the frame and zeroing in and telestrator circles around,
right?
Jump cuts, and I was so bummed out. I was so bummed. I wanted to think it was real. That's such a bummer, is that like every time there is like creepy shit, it gets debunked so quickly.
But I don't mean to take this specifically about your story, but what's weird to me also, though, is when something has been claimed debunked, it makes you shut it off forever. And so what if there were things that weren't debunked that were fakely debunked just to take you off of that? I think that happens.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what the disinformation stuff. Like, I don't know. At this point, I'm like, there's enough people who have said shit that they've seen that are at high levels of the government and military. And like, they must have seen some shit. Is there this many people that are just trying to cash in?
Well, let's go to your notes or whatever and like use some of these like real world examples.
Well, I mean, I already brought up the Advanced Aviation Threat Identification Program. I mean, that's so basically, if I can remember, Harry Reid, a senator from Nevada, I think he's been retired for a few years, he kind of spearheaded this, and I believe it was a friend of his named Robert Bigelow, who is like a big
AKA
muckety muck. Yeah, absolutely. European gigolo, who had some facility that I think that they were using to store. He was connected to this program somehow. And he's gone on and just been like, yeah, the shit I've seen is 100% back, you know, real evidence of UFO encounters and right. stuff like that. And I go like, I don't know. You could be cynical and say like, well, yeah, of course he's going to say that because his warehouse is getting some of this $22 million or whatever the
yeah,
fuck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'm cynical to a point, and then I go like, I don't know. What's this big conspiracy theory happening?
Well, but also, like, here's the thing, because we have a real-world litmus test for this. So Snowden comes out and says, like, oh, they're spying on you, and here's how. Like, Facebook's involved, Google's involved, all these fucking people. And then everybody gets outraged for a little bit, and then it just totally goes away. So if there were a whistleblower who had, like, legitimate evidence of, like, aliens, how long would it take until we're just like, what did Mike Tyson do? Oh, Mike Tyson killed somebody.
What are you talking about, Mike Tyson? Trump. I mean, like, that's like anything.
I mean, I feel like, listen, if you want to get deep conspiracy, like, Trump is the ultimate sort of, like, look over here,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So much so that they only talk about the crazy things that he's done while shit's going on.
This might be off topic, but maybe it'll somehow segue back. Did you guys read the anonymous New York Times op-ed?
I know about it. I didn't read it.
Oh, okay. Have you heard about this, Willie?
Nuh-uh.
Oh, it's great. I admit I'm not obsessed with Trump or focusing on Trump to any large degree, just because I'm like, it's not healthy for my mental state. But holy shit, I'm obsessed with this. So yesterday, New York Times published an anonymous, which is very rare. It's very rare that this happens. Op-ed from a quote-unquote senior Trump administration official, which has been debated like what that even means. But people are assuming it means like your cabinet heads, your secretaries of this and that, and even including Mike Pence.
Like someone very involved.
Someone high level. Like we're not talking. And the reason people are saying that, even though senior administration official is a relative term, people are saying, well, the New York Times wouldn't fucking publish it if, like, eventually, clearly, the identity is going to be revealed. They'd be embarrassed if it was, like, fucking
a lower guy.
Deputy assistant, so and so. Like, so, and of course, you know, and so just to tell you, Willie, like, Basically, the gist of it was like, I am part of the resistance within the Trump administration, and I am trying to keep him on the rails and prevent him from destroying the country because that's what it takes. It takes like people distracting him and lying to him and fucking coddling him to like prevent his worst impulses from being realized.
Wow.
And you know, like I said, people are suspecting this could be Mike Pence. People are suspecting this could be Mike Pompeo or Jeff Sessions or any of these people. And so
Sessions is a good bet.
Yeah. Or Nikki Haley is another one people are suspecting. And so obviously Trump flips out, goes on live TV, accuses New York Times of making it up, number one, then jumps right to the other end of the spectrum, which is like, they're gutless if they are real and they should come forward and this and that. And holy shit, it's fucking fascinating. It's fascinating that there's like, that this is basically like a game of Clue where we're all like, who the fuck? And he's walking around, everybody's walking around, like looking each other in the eye and shaking each other's hands, being like, are you the fucking guy?
Yeah.
Are you the one who wrote the fucking
Is that funny? Like, I used to read all of his tweets and talk shit to him every day. I'm like, he's not reading this. What's the point of this? And so I just shut off. And I've been listening to the Supreme Court hearings, you know, but I didn't read about this. I just...
This is huge. Because this is a mystery that, like, people will be obsessing over until the identity is revealed. You know, I mean, I every article I've read is given, like, the next previous examples of this in history, you know, meaning going into the past, and like the most recent example that even comes close is, remember that book Primary Colors that was written about the Clintons?
Yeah.
And that was by anonymous, and it was like, who was it? Who is it? And it was like just some journalist or something. I don't know, maybe people who, no, it's not some journalist, it was this person. But it wasn't like nearly as,
yeah,
this is way bigger than that.
Right.
This is like someone like that he's meeting
big
with.
Big if true. Big if true.
Huh?
Big if true.
Well, yeah, but big if not true in the sense of if there's any possibility that it is completely manufactured, then obviously that's huge too. But I, needless to say, I don't think it's manufactured.
I don't know if it's manufactured or not. I think like it's probably not. But if it were, it doesn't really do anything. Why would you manufacture that when the entire presidency is already a distraction, right?
Yeah.
Well, there's so many. There's agendas within agendas within agendas. And people are saying that basically that this person is not only a trying to let the American public know that, believe me, we think he's crazy too.
Right.
And also just to let you know.
And I think also our allies, right?
Possibly. And also, yeah. and don't worry, we're doing something about it. That's number one. But number two, people are being cynical and saying, like, whoever this is, when their identity becomes revealed, that will only make them a bigger star. You know, they'll be revealed, they'll leave the administration, and they'll be hailed a hero.
Yeah, but Trump has such a big dick with all of his mob ties, he'll just kill him with all of his fucking big time New York, we talk a big game, fucking mob ties. You're just gonna die.
But I hesitate to like try to make this connection because it might be tenuous, but like. That is what's so fascinating. Is like for years we sort of saw the government as this unified force, and it's so clear it's not.
Well, and it goes back to your microcosm, macrocosm. Working on a television show is like being in the government. Like the individual doesn't have to subscribe to this stuff. Like it waters down all of these conspiracy theories because like. There's too many moving parts for any one like huge evil to like succeed, right?
Well, but the thing is let's say you do have that giant showrunner that's in charge of everything and directing everything, you know, and you look at someone like J. Edgar Hoover for a long time who had stuff on people and ran everything in such a way that, you know, you could manipulate other secret entities. And then all of a sudden this guy goes away and then it's a free for all. And yes, I agree that the thing is I agree with it. It would be hard to maintain, but then you look at the fact that they could spend $22 million black project dollars. This is one project out of billions of dollars of black project money. And the beans were spilled on this, you know? And
I don't think they were spilled, though, by a whistleblower. I think this was sort of declassified.
No. A whistleblower came out and spilled the beans, and then two publications wrote about them on the same day.
But, I know that, but I mean, but it was still 6 years after it was shut down.
But it was the person that ran. It was a whistleblower.
But it was like. Why did he need to be a whistleblower?
He was the director. Well, yeah, but it's like even after the fact, it's like, hey guys, this is real, and is there a chance? I mean, like I don't know if he tried to get this story out earlier, but.
I mean, it's crazy I keep going back to like climate change is such an interesting variable in all this because I'm like. There is something that's slowly changing the world irrevocably. Like it can't be covered up. Like the government, it's just like, there is like all this shit we always talk about, like, oh, they're putting stuff in the water. They're controlling the weather, all of these things. Like, okay, fine. But there actually is something happening. That's going to destroy civilization if left unchecked. And like, it's not being hidden at all. It's all around us at all times. So What is the point of hiding anything anymore?
But that is such a good parallel because to anybody who doesn't believe it, it's like it would be easy. You would think it would be easy for them to believe it. All you got to do is look at stuff. Stuff is all around you. The evidence, the proof, the scientists, everything's all around you. But there is a big population that doesn't believe it, and then so sure you could question that. Oh, they believe it, but they are disregarding it because of their interest to make money.
No. I mean, like, listen. There's so much. it's propaganda. Like, it's 100% propaganda. If you don't believe in global warming, it's because you believe the people who are selling you an idea. Right?
Yeah.
Funded by the oil companies. I mean, that's not a conspiracy theory. That's like...
No, yeah. I mean, if you... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, like, if you want to tie this back into aliens and nukes, if aliens exist and they are only here to stop us from using nukes because we're going to destroy ourselves, then it doesn't track that you would believe that global warming exists, because wouldn't they be saving us from that? Like, wouldn't they be giving us...
Well, unless it depends. Willie's theory is that that's affecting them on a level that, you know, if they're in other dimensions that nuclear energy...
But that's what I'm saying. Well, maybe not even other dimensions, but if they value the Earth, then they wouldn't be... Then they would be stepping in... Right? And like doing something about global warming.
So that's the question then. Is it that the value of the Earth and its resources, or is it that nuclear power could fuck with
the cosmos? I think it's that nuclear power would fuck with them because they don't give a shit about
My question about I don't believe they give a shit about global warming either. I think that what resources change if the world heats up and let's just say we disappear. You know,
Said, they're operating allegedly they're operating on a different timeline. So all they would have to do, if we extinguish ourselves, then they would just have to wait for like a minute for the Earth to regenerate.
Yeah, and what's
weird
though,
and then they could use all the resources.
Is if we do extinguish ourselves, they would still have to clean up the nuclear energy. I believe that.
That's a different point. I think the only thing they care about the nuclear energy is because that's. It's not a different point. It's a different theory. I think that's our only weapon against them.
Well, see, here's the weird thing that the point that I was going to make based on what you're saying is, let's say that we killed ourselves and there's still nuclear facilities. Well, those facilities would then melt down. So you kind of need us. I don't know. This is so weird.
No. I understand what you're saying. I think like they would go like, "Oh, we'll just wait it out."
Yeah. Because if we kill ourselves with nukes and time is different to them, yeah, they could wait till it all fucking healed itself.
Yeah.
Anyways, also, but if
I think they're worried because nukes can take them out.
Because us in charge of it, we could. Yeah,
I think if they attacked or whatever, we could kill them with nukes.
There's the two ways of looking at it. Are they concerned about it as defensive measures, or you know, meaning that we could hurt them, or that we'll hurt each other? And you know, it's hard to figure out what they would care about us.
I would think that they would care. If it harmed us, the proof would be if they cared if it harmed us, is they would come meet us beforehand.
Meaning, and say, yo, yo, yo.
Because they chill could out. Meet us. So because they're not meeting us, I don't think it has to do with us saving ourselves.
Yeah,
But then the defensive thing is, I don't understand how aliens that can travel across the universe, galaxy, across dimensions, whatever, can't take out nukes.
It's an atom bomb. It exists on a molecular level. Like, regardless of what you are, it's going to fuck you up.
It actually destroys things on the molecular level, which is weird because,
But the one big, like, counterpoint to this is that they did, according to you guys, they shut down our missiles.
Not according to us. We're just the messenger.
Allegedly, they shut down our missiles, yeah. Right? So then why would they be afraid of nukes if they can shut them down?
Well, they're not anymore, obviously.
Wait, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, they figured out how to shut them down, if you believe that.
Okay, so...
That incident happened during their, like, can we do this? Let's test this out. Oh, we can. Cool.
So now we're good. So then, like, at what point... Okay, so if this is the movie, right? The movie is aliens are like... We're gonna take over this world. We need it for its resources. But there's all these humans there, and they have nukes, and nukes can kill us. we showed up because of the nukes, because we don't want them to have those, because they can hurt us. So my question is, at what point did they turn those missiles off? What, like, what year was that?
Well, my research shows it was 1967 that the Malmstrom Air Force Base incident happened that Captain Robert Salas discussed years ago.
Okay, so fast forward a little bit. Have they been on nuclear sites since then?
Yes. The stories are hard to come by, but there's another guy, Robert Jacobs, who talked about how they, you know, launched an ICBM into the air, and this UFO came up to it and circled around it, hit it with a laser gun, and then took off, and then that missile, like.
But that was not a nuke, though, right?
No, but it was us testing our nuclear missiles without a nuke in it.
Because my theory is,
or maybe it was, and it just got turned off.
I would love for you to list more examples of, well, but there aren't that many.
By the way, here's what's funny, if you think about it. We are to the aliens in this theoretical...
Don't do it. Don't say ants.
As... No. Believe me.
All right.
As... I got something much better.
Okay.
As... we are to the aliens as Iranians are to us and the Israelis. Meaning, when we saw that the Iranians were trying to go nuclear, we used some fucking super technology. A little thing called Stuxnet. Ever heard of it?
Stuxnet.
It was a cyber attack to fuck with their nuclear program.
Uh-huh.
And it did. It worked. And that was advanced super technology that nobody understood at the time because it was so secret.
Right.
And we were concerned about their nukes for the same reason the aliens are in theory are concerned about us getting nukes. Concerned about us. Like we don't want these people fucking getting nukes because they're going to fucking fuck everything up and hurt us.
Right.
So it's just interesting to think like that why didn't the aliens, like we did, stop this shit from happening before nukes even existed? I'm saying like the aliens should have been around in the early 1940s and saying, I see what they're up to. Let me just cut this off right at the fucking head.
Because there's a scenario that exists that we weren't even on their radar until the nuclear bomb went off. And then that's why Roswell happened, because they came around and they were like, wait, what's happening over here?
But like they the only way they became aware of us is because of nuclear energy?
Yeah, because it's like a beacon. It's like, oh, hey, like if you eat planets as a species, which we do, and they have some like advanced technology to be like, oh, these motherfuckers invented nukes. They must have resources on their planet. Let's go over there. And then we'll do that thing that we always do where we'll tell them not to use nukes and we'll like give them some laser cannons. You know what I mean? Like that would be my one counterpoint to that. Rather than like they were always aware of us and they should have put a stop to it previously.
It seems like it oversimplifies things to say that aliens only become aware of advanced civilization when the nuclear detector goes off.
But
Arkham's razor, dude.
But it also could be, because here's the thing: I don't think aliens are driving across the universe. I think that they're just here, and so it's like, yeah. Let's just say gorillas made some kind of, let's say they made some machine gun, right? Wouldn't if gorillas invented a machine gun, we wouldn't just go kill them all. But
have you seen the new Planet of the Apes movies, Willie?
Well, they adapted that technology from us. If I may be a Planet of the Apes reboot nerd,
they never actually invented machine guns. They just stole them from us.
But if they
That's
did,
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We would go, oh, what the fuck? We'd look over this way. We start building a couple bases over here, maybe. Or I say bases, but it's like, hey, fuck, man. We're not going to kill these guys, and sure, we could take a couple away, but we just got to watch them.
Here's what would happen if apes in the wild invented machine guns. We would survey them, figure out who the smart one was who did that, and then bring him in, put him in a cage, cut his brain open, and like see what it looked like.
But we wouldn't assume that one gorilla would then go talk to all of them all over the world.
I don't know if we wouldn't assume that. I think like if gorillas invented guns, wouldn't you look for the mastermind? You would be like, who's really doing this?
But what about the gorillas on the other country that also independently came up with their own?
Well, that's a new wrinkle. You didn't say that.
Also, but I'm just trying to compare it to humans, where it's like multiple. Do you see us as one race of humans, or do you see us as different factions that are against each other? From an outsider's point of view, we look like we're the same, but we're fighting with each other. But do we look like we're fighting with each other?
No, but this is the whole thing. I think so.
To an advanced race.
Especially in the 40s.
To my point, though, about the aliens only come when nuclear energy is discovered. If the girls are able to invent a machine gun, they're not just going right to machine gun. You know what I'm saying?
Like, well, sure.
They're getting the other levels of advancement before they hit machine gun. Right. And so we go, wait a minute, those apes just invented like the wheel.
Right.
That's pretty fucking crazy.
Yeah, but
that's exactly, that leads to my point of they weren't aware of us until we did nukes. But and then that set off alarms.
If they were watching us while the wheel was around, they may not have made themselves known, or we may not have identified them as being aliens. You know, you hear about, I don't know. I mean, every UFO everybody sees that doesn't believe in aliens is like, oh, that's a plane. Oh, it's a plane. I'm just saying you create excuse or a definition or whatever. Whatever you believe affects how you see things.
Let me ask a very specific question because it's fascinating me based on this Stanton Friedman quote. Like, what do you think would happen if aliens came down and it became a news story? Like, aliens just contacted us.
And in a peaceful way? Or
In a we don't know way. They just like said, hey, we're here. We exist.
So just
begin a conversation.
Some radio signal said like, okay, we're here. What's up?
Yes. Like, let's start talking.
Yeah.
Let's stop this secret bullshit.
And
you think we exist,
and that goes out to everybody
do.
So everybody knows.
It's world news.
I think mass hysteria. Do you mean beyond that? Like,
I mean, like beyond beyond anything philosophical. Like, what's the most, or even what you're saying, like sociological?
Like, what's the literal thing like, that would happen?
Yeah, like from a like I said, this question about like, well, who would decide? Would we decide? Okay, now we're part of like a Star Trekian federation of planets. You know,
I think,
what I mean?
I think at least in America, I can't speak on a world view because I don't know how fucking Russia or India works, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think in America, we would divide ourselves into two camps. The camp that is, let's hear what they have to say, and the camp that is, we got to find them and kill them.
And I'll say another camp, this is all a lie, that the aliens aren't. I mean, we're now living in a world where, like, I truly believe that, like, there are always going to be people who don't believe anything.
Sure.
Yeah.
There are flat earthers
so
still.
I think that within that realm, I think that's the biggest camp is, oh, this isn't real. A.
And how are we being manipulated?
And B, if the world took it seriously, then I feel like the world leaders would meet and they would forever argue on who is in charge.
But that would be behind closed doors.
But the UN would be like, hey, we're meeting now. I mean, like, I feel like there would be a very public.
There would be a public UN thing where they're like, we're going to figure this out. And then there would be a bunch of behind doors
it's like, well,
shit.
We could, we'll nuke you guys because we're supposed to be the ones talking. So, like,
well, I don't know if they would go there.
No. I'm just saying that, like, there is a threat of, like, no. We're the ones that should talk to them.
Well, obviously, America
is
going
to
be the ones who are like, we should be handling this, right?
I mean, look, like I said, once again, we have a direct parallel. Climate change. Every couple of years, the world gathers together in some city in the world and makes a fucking deal. That's what the Paris Climate Agreement was. and everyone argues amongst each other. And like, even though we all are going to be collectively suffering, we argue about like, well, who's actually the most responsible and who's the least responsible and who's going to be affected the most and who's going to be affected the least. And it's like, it's going to be the same shit, I'm guessing.
100%.
Like a lot of debate.
100%. Only a little bit more dire, depending on what these aliens are saying.
But also,
oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to cut you off. But like, climate change profits people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Aliens introducing themselves, I don't know how you make a profit on that.
Oh, I mean, sure, people will figure it out. Yeah.
But at that moment, those wheels aren't in motion yet.
Mm-hmm.
So there might be a minute where it's like, okay, what are we actually going to do? And maybe it's just a pissing contest, like Willie's saying.
The initial money could be from the network news. Well, we're going to get to, you know.
I mean, like, they're the number one source of income right away, because they're reporting for the first however many days and weeks and months, it'll just be a story. Like, no one will know anything.
The weird thing is this: let's say that aliens have been around for a long time. This is the first time they said hi. Then you have my what if is, if it's all real and it's all been happening, and then you might get secret military groups coming in it to say like, oh, hey, hold on. If they find out this is real, they've been here forever, then they're going to find out we've been working on this shit forever. Then they're not going to trust us anymore because we've been lying to them forever. And they'd be like, hey, we're here. We've actually been here for so long. You guys have a few of our crafts.
I don't think would matter, because like, if you get called on that, what does that really change? Like, let's say that the aliens came. It's worldwide news. We're like, what's going to happen? And then the Americans came out and said, like, we've actually been talking with them for like a really long time. Like, what are you actually going to, like, how do you actually call them out?
Well, what if...
Because it's not a trust what thing. If there You're just was going a like, okay, yeah, of, I just want to live.
What if there was a threat of the aliens revealing that information? I mean, like, do you feel like that...
Like a blackmail kind of scenario?
Not even blackmail, but do you think that the threat of finding out that they've been lying to us since Roswell is something that would take away credibility and make us
go, I don't think so.
We shouldn't trust them.
I don't think so, because if you look at wartime shit, like, you just, like, let a lot of stuff slide. So, like... If we're about to be at war with the aliens or whatever, you're like, oh, fuck, I don't care. Like, yeah, maybe you guys should have done something about this before, but, like, I'm not going to distrust you because you lied to me about it.
I just had a weird thought a moment ago, and that was, you know, I was actually going to pitch this as, like, what if this actually happened? What would you do? Like, what if all of a sudden we all start getting either emails or texts or even, like, knocks on our door or letters or something like that? Some form of communication.
Well, knocks on our door is creepy.
Or, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so let me then forget knocks on our doors. Like, let's say it's all just, like, over some realistic form of communication. And
right.
It basically says, like, hey, listen, we're, in so many words, we're the aliens. We understand you're a screwed up fucking planet, but we've identified you as one of like the enlightened few, and we'd all think, yeah, we are, right? And like, we're better than
damn
like Trump
straight
supporters and deplorables. We're like, we're fucking awesome, and they should have like identified us. And then they're like, just, you know, respond to this email, and like, you'll be kind of like essentially put on a list as far as like I don't know what they're suggesting is going to happen, but like, you're with us, right? Now, I was thinking that as like, oh, that'd be kind of a cool, interesting movie idea. Like, what would it be like to walk around in like the world and be like, hey, did you get contacted by the aliens, bro?
Right,
you
right, know? Right.
But then I was like, oh, wait a minute. That could end up being a fucking Nigerian scam that regular people take advantage of. Like, hey, we're the aliens. Give us $1,000. Yeah. You'll fucking get in on our fucking ship, or you'll get our special tech or whatever.
Well, it could be a Nigerian scam, or it could be, once they contact you, you're the fucking watch guy in Die Hard. You're the guy who's selling out Die Hard to, like, advance his own interest.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I think that would be a very smart thing to do. Like, if we got, like, 100 people together and we're like, let's just go fuck up Africa, like some shitty tribe in Africa or whatever. And we'll send them, like, some emails before and be like, hey.
Assuming they have the shitty tribe has access to.
Yeah, they've got like little got cafes iPhones, or whatever.
Let's be real.
We could get a lot of them on our side just by doing that. Just by going like, hey, you're one of the chosen ones. We're about to show up and like we won't kill you for sure.
Yeah.
You just have to join us. It's like a really weird, cool way to take over something.
Yeah. Well, it's sort of like it is. We all want to believe that, right? I mean, like the Jews believe they're the chosen people. Scientologists believe like that they're kind of the secret guardians of the human
like
race.
I think like narcissism, yeah, narcissism is like a huge selling point. Like if the aliens came and said like, "Hey Earth, you qualified. Now you can be a part of this huge intergalactic fucking whatever solar system. You did it. You're a level 3 whatever the levels are." Like, you graduated, mm-hmm. and now you can be in on all this.
Type 2, type 3.
Yeah, all that shit. That's the easiest way to get us to lower our guard, and then they can just blow us up.
Yeah, that's a funny thing, because if you believe in aliens, and you hear stories of abductions, and you treat that as real, then you see the telepathic element to it, and they should be able to figure out how to manipulate us pretty easily. Psychologically.
But that's the thing. Like, I think like a lot of our mythology dealing with aliens, and I'm calling it mythology like definitively, because I don't think it's real. But if you do subscribe to that, like, oh, they're all like telepathic and stuff like that, that's like a, and then they're just normal or whatever.
Aliens?
It's a good way to like get people on your side, right?
Yeah. I like the idea of everybody's wrong about everything and they show up and they're just kind of nerdy.
In what way?
Pocket protectors? That they make us feel
they got tape on the middle of their glasses and stuff.
Being around them like, "Oh, fuck you."
Well, but that's like rule number one.
Little pussy.
But that's rule number one of manipulating someone, right? Appeal to their like narcissism and stuff like that.
You guys
like,
are, even the dumb ones are smart. What?
You guys are so
where
great.
Did you guys come from?
Oh, they would be kissing our asses? Or we'd be kissing theirs?
No, they would be kissing our asses and going like, "Holy shit, you guys are so fucking great."
You may
and
not have invented the computer, yeah. But you can use it.
We only shut down Unix because we were so jealous. We couldn't figure out how to make nukes.
Oh, man. You guys are so smart. Teach us how to make nukes. Why don't we take a quick break, and then we'll be back for the conclusion of
right
our Ryan Ridley
this.
UFO nuclear whatever
beep.
Episode.
Hey, guys. Real Life Sci-Fi here. If aliens were to come down and speak to us now, it would be nice if we, you know, I mean, you think about who would be in charge of communicating with them. And so I think we need to figure that answer out before they get here. I mean, who could represent us? Guys, who do you think, right? We have our guest, Ryan Ridley.
Would it be the UN? Would it be the president of America?
The queen?
Ooh, what about the queen?
Xi Jinping?
Is the bloodline the most important person on our planet to represent?
Population? Is money? Is military dominance?
Is Willie
celebrity.
Nelson someone who...
Is emotional intelligence.
Has been nice to everyone his whole life?
Ridley,
seems.
Who do you think should represent us?
I say
us?
It should be the least among us. I say it should be a homeless... transgender woman in Haiti.
Okay, well, if we can not find that person, because that doesn't exist.
Yeah, you wouldn't find that person, Wade.
Well, because she's probably in hiding.
Well, we'll find her.
All I'm saying is Meryl Streep. Meryl Streep would be the best person to represent us.
She's nice. She has a career of being great and nice.
Great and nice.
I'm
Oprah. What about Oprah? Is anyone on board with Oprah? Willie, what are yours?
I mean, my answers. My real answer is Elizabeth Warren right now. I, you know, but there's a lot of people that would disagree with that. I'm like, who?
Elizabeth Warren? Who is that? Isn't she super liberal?
Yeah, I know. That's why a lot of people
Fuck
disagree.
That. Fuck that, dude. All right. If you have a better answer, hit us up.
John McCain.
John McCain is dead.
The aliens will be able to sort that shit out.
Oh, they could go back in time and he could speak for us then.
They could go
into
his brain.
Could be throughout time now.
They could fucking inject a needle into his brain.
Carl Sagan is my answer.
So interesting. Okay, even though you called him a sellout earlier?
I think that he was affected by the military-industrial complex to be like fucking shut the fuck up.
If you've got a better idea than John McCain... Or Carl Sagan, or Meryl Streep, or Oprah.
Or a transgender homeless
Haitian
woman. Or a transgender
homeless Haitian woman. Wait, is it MFW or WFM?
MFW.
Okay. Then give us a hashtag.
Wait a minute, what did I just agree to? What does that mean?
Male for female.
Oh, yeah. Male for woman. Because you said MFW.
Oh, I'm sorry. I fucked it up. Does this all track still? Are we all on board with this?
Yeah.
Okay. I think we cleared it up.
And I want to be clear, just, you know, at the risk of my words being twisted. When I said the least among us, I'm saying that you all understand that the most marginalized people in our society...
It's the biggest minority.
...would have to be not only a transgender person, but someone who's economically disenfranchised, i.e. homeless... And a member of a country that's probably the most disadvantaged in the world's community. So that's why I chose Haiti.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Hashtag who speaks for us. We got to figure this out. We'll do it crowdsource style. Hashtag who speaks for us. Hit us up on Twitter, Real Life Sci-Fi 1. Or
if you email us, I'll tweet it out for you. If you don't have Twitter.
Don't email us. just tweet us. Just tweet us. That's the way we'll do it. All right, back to the show. All right, so what are our closing thoughts here, Willie?
I think that no matter what we have defined in our own heads, and of course I'm projecting myself onto you.
Well, but you also have to realize that, like, not a lot of people have thought about this.
Yeah, but when I think that it is a matter of when, not that aliens will reveal themselves to us, but when we will finally just go like, oh shit, this is real. I don't think that they're going to reveal themselves to us. I don't think that they're actually, that they even care or think about what we're doing here or what we're thinking or what type of species we are. I don't think anything affects, I think that they're just mining and whatever they're doing affects them and they don't need to have anything to do with us, and that we've affected them a little bit. Sure, I think that our radar has taken down some of their crafts, and I feel like we are actively, well, not to get into that, but that our nuclear weapons are affecting whatever they're doing, and they don't need to come in and say, hey, knock it off. This are like, what the fuck? What the fuck was this? Who are these things? Whatever. And sure, I believe that people have been abducted and to figure out more about us the same way that we dissect animals. But ultimately, the reason why this is all top secret is because every government, every military, everybody out there who is making money, you know, our militaries, our governments, they are making money, have come to the realization that this alien threat is something that they cannot defend us from. And so let's not talk about it. Let's just figure it. Let's just keep getting technology. Let's keep getting their technology because we can't defend ourselves. And so the last thing we're going to do is say, hey, population, this is real and we can't do anything about it. So, you know, just, you know, try to contact them and tell them that we're nice, whatever. It's in their best interest to just hush it up, keep it secret. And I feel like all of these stories of UFOs shutting down nukes is in their best interest to just treat it as it's not important. Let the stories go away because you're not going to believe it anyways. I think that this is real and we're kind of fucked, but you know what, they're not doing anything, we're not doing anything, just keep going. That's what I think is going to happen. Maybe one day an alien will come out, but let's say an alien did make the news, was dead, we found one, people aren't going to believe that anyways. It's a hoax, it's fake. If somebody said that the story was debunked, then you wouldn't believe it anyways. The alien story isn't going to come out because we're past the point of believing it. We need our government to say that it's real. That's the only way that we will believe. And so that's too bad. And I think that there's a lot of evidence out there that our nukes are affecting them. That's it.
Really? What do you think?
Yeah, I think the government isn't going to want to acknowledge that they exist unless they have absolute control and confidence over the situation, meaning... what's the point of saying, like, yeah, aliens are out there, they've been fucking with us for 70 years, and we know as much as you do, everybody, but they're here, so we'll keep you posted if things change. You know what I mean? They're going to want, unless they have absolute control over the situation, they're not going to want to, like, acknowledge, because it makes them powerless. To say that there's this thing that exists that we've denied for 70 years, but we don't know, understand it, and don't have any control over it, that just makes it... Then that's where there's panic, because the public would go like... So they could just start... They could take out our nukes. They could abduct us, you know, on a mass scale. They could do whatever we've heard for 70 years has been the UFO mythology. Like, you're telling us that it's all real, but you don't know how to protect us from it, you know? And so why would they acknowledge it? Because that just displays vulnerability and weakness. And then it'll start kind of the domino effect will go from there. It'll be like, well, if you fucking can't deal with these fucking aliens and you can't really – I mean, so much of government power is about the illusion of control. And like it's funny. I keep going back to climate change. It's just a perfect thing. It's like this is clearly a thing that, like, we're not able to fucking handle and deal with. And it's only the illusion of, like, yeah, we've just made a deal that, like, we'll stop the temperature going up 0.5 degrees over the next whatever. And it's just all such a fucking illusion. And I guess we're all going, like, yeah, we don't really need to. It's all about psychological control. If we don't think we need to worry about it, then we won't worry about it. And so we don't think we need to worry about climate change, really. So we're not. So why make us worry about something that they can't control anyway? Did that make sense?
Yeah.
I would say that, and maybe this is going to, like, in the Venn diagram of what Ridley just said, it might overlap a little bit. I think if there are UFOs and if they showed up when we started doing nuke tests, that we just never got a handle on them, right? Yeah, maybe they exist, but I don't think that we actually know what they are or where they're, like, what their agenda is or anything like that. So if they do come down and we did have that previous knowledge of them, it would be like, yeah, I don't know. We saw them before. But we didn't know what to do about them. And so when they come, it would be like complete mass hysteria. Like, we don't have like the knowledge of what they are to counteract them. Oh shit, I'm losing my train of thought. I think it's gonna be a fucking shit show. I guess my point is, if they were around during the nuclear testing, if that's when we started seeing them, I don't think that we had any idea what they were. I think if they're savvy, we didn't have any information. So if they do come to us, we're just totally fucked. I think that's all I wanted to say. I mean, we're fucked.
I mean, it's so funny because it always comes down to, like, is it going to be Star Trek or is it going to be Independence Day? You know what I mean? Yeah. Are they just going to fucking roll up and destroy us? Or are they going to be like, hey, guys, ready to fucking level up, baby?
Right. Well, I think we've got shirt
pants. Uh-huh. They're connected.
It just depends on how advanced and nefarious they are. Like, how opportunistic are they?
Yeah.
Like, could, because if they're that much more advanced than we are, why wouldn't they just kill us all and take all of our shit?
Yeah, I mean, but yeah. even then, that would take so much energy. It's like, oh, we don't need to kill them, but anybody that gets in our way, more than likely, it's that.
That's a good point.
It's like do we even understand? We keep talking about aliens. You know, I'm using examples from fucking popular culture. But you can even go to, like, historical examples, you know, when I think, like, I could be wrong, but I know Stephen Hawking has talked about how if there is alien life, intelligent alien life out there, we don't want to encounter it anyway because, and whether it's him or not, someone has clearly made the analogy of, like, remember, like, when the Spanish came to America and fucking wiped out the Indians. And,
right.
And any advanced civilization encounters a less advanced civilization in the history of this planet. Look how it turns out. But that's us just anthropomorphizing these alien beings, which aren't human. And so we can't really speculate on what their entire...
I mean, that's true. They could value something that's not a resource.
Exactly.
Like, oh, what is this music you guys are making? We don't know how to make that.
Yeah, what if they just
really want...
Oh, man,
that's
really
a great 1976 concept album pitch right there. The aliens come down because they don't know music. That's the resource.
This album is a communication.
They haven't discovered rap yet, and they're just like, what?
Yeah.
This is amazing.
But,
well, I went to my friend's house, and I had chicken, and what's the chicken sex?
Is that the aliens
like
rap? That
no,
they're
no,
like...
that's ours. That's our beginning rap.
Oh, okay.
Right? Isn't that the...
The early
Sugar
days Hill of
gang.
Innocent rap?
Yeah, the old innocent rap.
I said, hey, how, hey, look at me going now.
Oh, rest in peace, Burt Reynolds, by the way. Plugs? Any plugs?
I don't think so. When does this go up?
Let's plug Sunday. Your brother's show. You should watch Last Chance U.
Yeah.
On Netflix.
It's a great Hard Knocks.
I was, but I stopped myself and then you did it. Which is fucked up.
It's fucked up. Season 3 is on Netflix.
It's good. It's really good. Your brother really, and he's moving up in there.
He's working. Did I tell you what he's working on now? I don't know if I'm not allowed to talk about it, so I'll wait till after.
Okay,
we're
don't
done
talk
recording,
about
but.
It. Watch Last Chance U on Netflix. It's Ridley's brother, and then I don't know. I don't have any plugs because I'm disenfranchised with everything that I'm doing right now.
Yeah, I'm almost there. Like, hey, subscribe to me on YouTube, Robotic Willie Roberts, Willie with a Y.
What do you got on YouTube?
Not just all the old shit, but I was going to start taking all the other stuff that I have on other websites and putting them on there. You know, like I've got a sketch group YouTube page that's dead that like, oh, this, whatever.
All right, remember
doing, like, videos about this kind of stuff.
Well, that'll be the... Oh, yeah, subscribe to that, Real Life Sci-Fi on YouTube.
But you do videos? Where you're
we're going to.
Okay.
We haven't started yet.
We
already do a lot of work for the show.
What was I going to say? I totally forgot what I was
hashtag?
Gonna say.
I don't know.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, if you have an area of space you would like us to explore, please send it in. It's waitandwilly@gmail.com or reallifesci-fi1 on Twitter. And then send us a new ending, too. I'm so sick of this fucking catchphrase that I stole from, I don't know, J.D. Salinger? I don't even know who it was. It wasn't him. It wasn't him.
What was the catchphrase?
Just because you're paranoid don't mean they're not after you.
Oh, yeah, that's not J.D. Salinger.
Good night.
Thanks, Ryan.